If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Que ven en Bing, me llamo el Dototito que ven en Bing. Quiere decirles que el ojo que tengo bien hecho me da que ver en Bing. Mira, Tijuana, componerlo que ven en Bing. Quiero agarrarme toda una puta ya que ven en Bing en Tijuana para poder. Hola, no hay que ver en Bing.
What the hell?
That's a very interesting question. I don't know.
Oh, say does that our banner rock in red blare for the land of the free. And the home of the brave.
Play ball.
This is horrible. I want to go out and puke right now.
Good morning.
There's no turning back, no matter how much we wish we could.
And now.
All right, now the moment you've all been waiting for. Lights, music.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:34 on Tuesday, the 28th of Aprilingus.
Yum, 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 yum.
Speaking of that that singer of the national anthem.
Yes.
Boy, that song can be destroyed sometimes. And I don't know if you guys remember, but we had the Armenian comedian do the national anthem at, I think we were playing midgets in basketball.
Yes, we were.
Yeah. And he, of course, doesn't know any of the words, so Jimmy wrote them down all completely wrong, and he read just right. It didn't strike him as out of the ordinary or anything. Just read the lyrics, just were ridiculous.
Total commitment.
Sold it as best he could.
Yes, he did. God bless him.
And speaking of the Armenian comedian, I was in Lightning's office after the show yesterday, and he calls Lightning 25 times a day.
Really?
Literally 25 times a day. Yes. So so Layton goes, hey, it's the Armenian comedian. So we get on the phone with him, and he starts talking about how he wants to sell cars and the bad economy. And he starts talking about becoming a monkey.
What?
It sounded like he was going to put on some kind of a monkey costume, and he wants to jump around and sell cars. And we were said, what are you talking about? And he said, and then we, through a series of questions for about 10 minutes, we figured out that what he was talking about was he wanted to use a client of K-Rock, somebody who's a car dealer, and he wanted to be a spokesperson for them.
Okay.
And if he ran around acting like and looking like a monkey, that would encourage people to buy cars.
So he would work at the dealership, like stand out on the corner.
Yes.
In a monkey suit running around.
Yes, that's correct. So we set it up. We said, and by the way, we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067 for Kevin and Bean's What a Do Nephew. We set it up. I believe it's going to happen sometime this week. We said, Sam, this is absolutely a great idea.
We'll talk to them. We'll set it all up.
I'm good friends with the guy over at Galpin. We'll set it up such and such a day at noon.
Are you actually going to tell Galpin?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, okay.
I said,
because it'd be funnier if you didn't.
I said, we're going to be there. But you won't see us at first, so just
because we're going to hide and film.
So just be, and I just want to show them how great of a spokesperson you can be. So just get out there in the traffic and just start really waving your arms and just being a crazy monkey. It'll be awesome.
That is a great idea.
So apparently that's gonna happen with Sam.
All right.
So he's the best. Just add water to that guy. That's all you need. All right. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number for Kevin and Bean's What a Do Nephew. You get on the air, we give you a prize.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What a do, nephew.
And just for getting on the air today, you get a pair of tickets to the Cinco de Mayo Lucha Vavoom.
Yeah.
Ah, that's the best.
Cinco de Mayo at the Mayan Theater. That is the best show ever. We may have to go to that again.
I know. You only went once, right?
Yeah. It's the most bizarre.
Never stop talking about it.
It's so awesome.
Yeah, it's one of those things like the Midget Rodeo. It was the Midget Rodeo, I think. Sort of like that, where you go, I've never seen anything like this before in my entire life. I'll never see anything like this again in my entire life. And she watched people come out in like chicken outfits and strippers and giant pork. What was the giant big pork or big?
Yeah, big Porco.
Big Porco. I don't know, I'm sure that's not the name, but it's something like that.
I'm pretty sure.
I'm going to tell you it isn't. But
the best part for me was that the wrestlers arrive in different lowriders off Hollywood Boulevard. And people wait out in front of the mine.
Oh, serious?
And they pull around the corner in their lowriders. Everybody cheers them on and they get out and... What, the big fat guy has a midget on his shoulder? You're like, this is insane.
It is. It's like a cartoon. It's so much fun. All right, let's begin with Matt, who is calling from Corona. Good morning, Matt.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
So we were at the Laker game last night. Lakers won, of course.
Of course. Lakers.
And your boy Diddy was up on the big screen.
I saw when they did their little, they take the camera around. Mm-hmm. They put all the celebrities on. Diddy.
And all of Staples Center booed him.
Awesome.
Are you serious?
I couldn't tell that from watching it on TV, but that's awesome. That's
the best. Yeah, and then he got his usual, his cocky, like, what was that for look on him.
Yeah.
But it was priceless. The whole Staples Center booed him.
Did he?
He probably Twittered that they cheered him.
Yeah.
We should check his tweets.
Hey, everybody, I just got cheered at Staples Center. This is crazy how much people love me.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
That's correct. Not entertained. All right, let's go to Elizabeth in Glendale. Good morning, Elizabeth.
What to do, baby boo? What to do, nephew?
What to do, Elizabeth?
Hey, so I'm at the Americana at Brand. I'm taking my daughter on the trolley.
Mm-hmm.
A freakish Rodney on the Rock scare. There's a guy in the back of the trolley announcing what we're driving past, and he's doing it totally Rodney-esque, mispronouncing everything. He's saying, okay, and over on the right, we have Sur La Table. And over on the left, couldn't pronounce anything right. Turn around, I was absolutely positive it was Rodney.
Was it?
No, he's about 2 feet taller.
2 feet taller?
Wow.
Who, Rodney is?
No, it wasn't him, but I would have bet money on it.
You mean this guy's 2 feet shorter than Rodney? It's a midget Rodney?
No, the guy on the trolley was 2 feet taller than Rodney.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, man. Giant Rodney.
Giant Rodney. That's just as good. We need to get Rodney some kind of an announcing gig, not on the radio, but like at a public
event.
Wouldn't
that be great?
Yeah.
He would be good on the trolley.
Grammys, Dodgers, something like that.
Not I think batting.
All right. Let's go to Melissa in Redondo Beach. Hi, Melissa.
What it do, guys?
What it do?
What it do?
I just wanted to talk quickly about the shark duck game that last night.
How about that? How about that series?
Ducks totally swept it, and they're going around two.
Yeah, they didn't sweep it, but they won it.
Yeah, swept it enough.
Okay, swept it enough.
At home.
At home. Yeah, that was in San Jose. A lot of people were saying we're going to win the whole thing. So
very exciting.
It was pretty pretty impressive.
It was awesome. I got to go yesterday, and it was just the energy there was just too much.
Yeah, playoff hockey is unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's one of those things I can't understand why everyone isn't into playoff hockey. It's just so fantastic. Yeah, so they move on to round two.
That's awesome.
Speaking of sports, one quick note. The Nuggets beat the Hornets.
Oh.
121-63. Almost exactly double. I've never seen that in the playoffs.
This is being touted as arguably the most embarrassing game in sports history. And I know it sounds like hyperbole, but this is playoff basketball, and this is supposedly, a pretty good basketball
This should be
team.
Evenly matched,
and,
or very close.
Yeah, a lot of guys are talking about this morning in the paper and stuff as being one of the most embarrassing games in history.
What the hell
sports.
Happened?
121-63.
Were they down? I mean, was someone really important injured or something?
The coach of the Hornets said, we think Chris Paul was hurt, and Chris Paul has come out and said, I'm fine. I just got my ass. We
I'm
got
just bad?
Kicked. Yeah.
Wow. That's a rough way to lose in the playoffs.
No kidding.
Bill in Panorama, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing today?
Good. What's going on?
Not much. What to do, nephew, first of all.
Thank you. What to do?
Wait, I'm calling to let you know that actually I am an office trip this fine city in the Panorama.
Yes.
And if our meeting happened to be out here, I will be more than gladly to put some jewelry on his wrist, if you know what I mean.
So if he were dancing and disrupting traffic, let's say.
Dressed as a monkey.
Dressed as a monkey.
And knowing his track record, I'm sure he may have some little fun stuff with him. can't confirm or deny it, but he may.
I can't imagine how funny it would be to see Sam, the Armenian comedian, dressed as a monkey getting arrested. That might be the ultimate.
It might be good times.
All right, Bill.
Letting you know.
We'll give you all the details.
All right.
Taser. Taser.
I'm sorry?
Taser. Possibly taser.
We have been looking for somebody to taser. That would be a good plan.
You'd be perfect.
Sam in a monkey suit?
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. I can't wait for that. All right. It's 5:44. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. Like we said, it's Tuesday. And here are some highlights of today's Kevin and Bean Show. We have Steve-O.
Oh, yes.
Coming into the studio.
He's on that show I can't talk about.
That's
well,
correct.
He was.
He was on that show. He's not anymore.
Can I talk about it since he's...
Okay. No, you cannot. I paid good money to have you not speak of that show, and I will continue to enforce that.
Killing me, man.
There's also a documentary about Steve-O called The Demise and Rise of Steve-O that's going to be on MTV that we're going to talk about.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
We have a little actor by the name of Hugh Jackman on the program today. X-Men Origins, of course. We have, Heidi and Spencer.
Oh, dear
I'm
God.
Sorry, repeat.
Heidi and Spencer.
Really?
And you know what they're calling about? Her music.
Well, we're the ones to talk to about that.
Which is the
best. They know their audience.
Because they're the best, that's why.
Yep.
And I have some great questions that I got in the email
that's
to help
the best.
Us out.
Okay.
I was afraid yesterday, and I'm still a little afraid, that I can't put into words the feeling that most people have toward them.
Right.
It's really...
It's a big mantle to take on.
It really is. Like, I feel like no matter what happens, I'm going to be disappointed because I'm not going to fully be able to understand and to get across what's going on. But we're going to have him on the show.
Okay.
And you're going to die from the swine flu. You need to know
well,
that.
Yeah.
You're going to die very soon. You're going to die from the swine flu. You turn into a pig. That's what happens.
I did not know
yep.
that.
You get a snout.
I've heard all the new stuff. I didn't hear anything
you
about a
grow
snout.
Grow a snout. That's how it starts. That's how you can recognize it.
So not only do you die unattractive.
That's correct. Oh. So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat next. That's how you want to wake up, right there.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You don't need the coast and all that soft music. That won't get you out of bed.
Absolutely not.
Tool, that's what you need.
Hi, I'm Ted Zeglerides, playing you Tool while you're coasting in the morning.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. Heidi and Spencer on the way. Hugh Jackman on the way. Steve-O on the way. It's a pretty big show.
Mm-hmm.
But first, Ralph is here to take a look at what's going on in the world of showbiz.
How does Ted Zeglerides not get a radio name, by the way?
That's a great question.
So many people have changed their name in this business. But Ted Zeglerides, he's still rocking Zeglerides.
That's the dude at Coast?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of them. I think it's...
Isn't that Zeglerides?
I don't know. Oh, sure. It's an effed up name, the point. Great gosh almighty. Britney Spears claims she has found her way to inner peace and tranquility. She's all better now.
Really?
Everything?
All healed up.
Overnight?
Inner demons are gone.
Oh.
She's right as rain. Now she did it?
How? Nope.
Gardening.
Now that she gardens, she's...
Yep.
She's whole again?
Yep.
Her lady garden?
No, her...
How about that?
Her outside garden in the dirt garden. She has a newfound green thumb, and she says it's very soothing. And she's a devout reader of a book called Chicken Soup for the Gardener's Soul.
Oh,
and apparently that book
God.
Has given her a lot of solace. So she's all better now. Thanks so much. Move along. Nothing to see here.
Hmm.
Wow.
I beg to differ. I saw something to see just yesterday.
Yeah.
Brittany.
And she's growing strings in her garden.
Yes, oh! Yes.
Maybe they'll be at Coachella next year.
Yeah, it's Coachella, Rodney. Britney Spears, speaking of which, Star Magazine says all the smoke on stage on her new circus tour is bothering her lungs, so she's purchased a hyperbaric chamber to lie in to purge the smoke from her lungs after each show.
I hope that's true. That's the best news.
Then when she gets out of the chamber, she just lights up a pack of Cools. Just kicks backstage with some menthols and just rocks out. Yeah, that's
Isn't
hilarious.
Isn't she accustomed to being covered in smoke living with K-Fed for so long?
You'd think. Between the two of them, they'd go through four packs a day. Vince Vaughn is better than us. Let me tell you why.
Long been true.
Yeah, but here's the latest reason. He left Jerry's Deli the other day, mm-hmm. This is according to Star Magazine, and there was a homeless dude laying out front asking for food, and Vince had a leftover pastrami sandwich to give him,
right,
and some fries, apparently in one of those to-go containers, and gave it to the guy. The guy opened him up and said, "I want ketchup." So Vince went back into Deli's, Jerry's Deli.
Did he say,
no! No!
Grabbed some ketchup packets, came back out, and gave the dude ketchup.
Wow.
If that's me, and the homeless guy looks at me and says, where's the ketchup? I say, here it is, and I unzip.
Come back there.
That's why Vince is better than me.
I don't think I would have gone back in either.
Nope.
That's pretty cool.
Giving you my food.
Right.
What do you want from me?
Doing my part. Ask someone else for ketchup.
Yeah. Fox has announced it will not be airing President Obama on Wednesday night. Press conference marking Barack's 100 days in office will be carried by ABC, CBS, NBC, PBS. But Fox has said, no! No!
How about that?
They will simply run an on-screen graphic during Lie to Me, their Wednesday night drama, and tell people if you're interested in seeing the press conference, go to Fox News Channel. And if you want to see a press conference about a Barack Obama, Fox News Channel is the place to go.
It is. Yeah.
Very entertaining. Yeah, so they're not going to carry it.
How about that?
Breaking ranks. This is rare. Usually networks don't do that. Usually
they're afraid to because they don't want to be the one that doesn't get...
They don't want to tick off the president.
Yeah.
They want access. But apparently they've made their choice. So ABC is talking about renewing Scrubs for a 9th season.
Is that right?
Apparently it's doing pretty well on its new network. And they would like to bring back some or all of the original cast members, The Hollywood Reporter reports. However, this could be hard, since Donald Faison, John C. McGinley, and Neil Flynn are already co-starring on pilots for new shows for the fall season.
Yeah.
And Zach Braff has told producers this would be his last season on the show. So they will bring back the blonde chick. You call it Scrub. And American Idol is tonight. Of course, I won't be watching.
That's correct.
Because I've given up on this BS show.
Well, they lost you last week.
I'm tired of them yanking my chain.
They lost you last week. They were taking advantage of you all season.
They were, and I still had goodwill about it. I said I'm willing to put up with it because I still think the show is entertaining.
Right.
And I'm putting up with Ryan Seacrest because I just think it's worthwhile. And then last week, they just kicked me right in the nads one too many times.
It's a middle finger to the fans is what it is.
It really was.
So you're out.
So I said, screw you. You're not gonna abuse me like this anymore. However, it may all be pointless anyway, because Simon Cowell did an interview yesterday saying that all he cares about is the finals, which will come down to Adam Lambert and Danny Cokey. Well, then, let's just cut to that, shall we? Like Lakers and the Cavaliers. Let's just cut to the chase, shall we? You're just wasting everybody's time with the rest of these series.
So. I agree.
And it is Tuesday. That means new DVDs and CDs are in stores today. New on CD. A new Bob Dylan CD.
Yeah!
That's what I'm talking about.
He's still putting out music?
It's called Together Through Life, We Think. Bob said it's... As far as we can tell, it's called Together Through Life. Ben Folds presents University Acapella by Ben Folds. Alrighty then.
That's a strange little fella.
And Coaster by NoFX. Also in stores. DVDs in stores today. Bride Wars. That's right, Bride Wars. Kate Hudson, Anne Hathaway, they both picked the same day for their wedding.
No, they didn't.
And they're best friends, but now they're not friends anymore because they have the same day for the wedding.
Oh, I hate it when that happens.
Oh, you.
I saw that.
Best friend of mine.
What?
Of course you did. Of course you did.
Lisa!
You and your uterus.
It was not good.
Really?
It's shockingly not good.
What a surprise.
To celebrate the upcoming Angels and Demons, the new Tom Hanks film.
Yep.
The sequel, of course, to
Looks
Da Vinci
great.
Code. Da Vinci Code, a two-disc extended cut Blu-ray edition is available today. A lot of Blu-rays are in the new release season. They're starting to roll out all the titles that were on DVD now are on Blu-ray, including Purple Rain, which drops today on Blu-ray.
Wow.
Which I bet with the sound and quality and everything, that'd be pretty cool. Let's see Apollonia in high def.
Sure. What was that last night?
Did you?
Yes.
What are the odds?
It was on Fuse.
And you blew it, man. You could have waited for the Blu-ray.
Now
you have just a crappy old analog version.
It's all on TV and stuff.
And they probably said, get off my monkey fighting plane. Satanic Sluts 3, Scandalized, is available today.
Oh, that's a good one.
I'm going to pick that up on DVD. And What Doesn't Kill You, starring Mark Ruffalo and Ethan Hawke, also available today. Star Trek, the original TV series, Season 1 on Blu-ray, is available. Anyone?
Nope.
The Uninvited with Elizabeth Banks. She plays that creepy dude who's trying to marry those girls' dad.
Oh, right.
That looks creepy.
I'm in.
That is available today. X-Men, the animated series, of course, leading up to X-Men Origins. The movie comes out this weekend. Volumes 1 and 2 available on DVD. And Hotel for Dogs.
Yep.
starring Emma Roberts and Lisa Kudrow.
I never saw that.
Fantastic
well,
film.
Let's awesome. Keep it that way,
fantastic
shall we?
Film.
Netflix Hotel
Mike's clapping
for dogs.
And saying fantastic film and
Hotel for freaking dogs.
I am
see,
not
because they've
of
got
yours.
A vending machine that the dog can get a shoe out of.
Yep. That's
see?
Funny.
That is comedy mm-hmm. incarnate.
Just going to give you a little heads up right now. If this story is ever done again today and you speak up, I will hit you in the balls.
Sweet.
Right?
Just giving a fun you, show, people.
Giving you a heads up.
Today's celebrity birthdays real quick. Jay Leno is 59 years old today. Kim Gordon of Sonic Youth turns 56. Bridget Moynihan turns 38 years old. Penelope Cruz is 35. Jessica Alba is 28. Really? Do we have Nobel because what's his name is on his 19th vacation this year? Thank
there
you so
go.
Much. Penelope Cruz is 35. Jessica Alba is 28. Bridget Moynihan is 38. Just to recap. And Jorge Garcia, our pal from Lost, turns 36 years old today. Or as Kevin calls him, Jose Garcia.
I haven't called him that since two times ago.
I walked the show his.
You're going to die from the swine flu. The details on that coming up.
Yes, it's absolutely true.
You're going to die, and you're going to die soon, and it's going to be very painful.
Yeah, I'm sad.
I have to be honest. And it's going to hit 100% of us. That's the bad part. First, though, it's time for the Internet Roundup. You go to KROQ.com, the Kevin and Bean page, click on Internet Roundup. It has a bunch of links for our favorite stuff. I don't know if you've been following the gay marriage controversy.
Of course.
But
can't get away from it.
Like all controversies, one, well, really, on both sides, there's usually people who exaggerate to the nth degree.
Sure.
And there's certainly one in this side, and it's people who are scared to death that if gay marriage passes, all of us are going to have to be gay. And that is the focus of today's Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
On Comedy Central, Stephen Colbert has a program that comes on just after The Daily Show. It's a 1-2 punch, and if you don't like watching news shows, that's the one to watch. Because
it's a great way to get your politics.
Yeah, they make it really funny.
Yeah.
They tell the story, and Stephen Colbert played this real commercial from people who are scared to death of gay marriage.
There's a storm gathering.
The clouds are dark.
And I am afraid. My freedom will be taken away.
I'm a California doctor who must choose between my faith and my job.
I am part of a New Jersey church group punished by the government because we can't support same-sex marriage.
I am a Massachusetts parent, helplessly watching public schools teach my son that gay marriage is okay.
But some who advocate for same-sex marriage have not been content with same-sex couples living as they wish.
Those advocates want to change the way I live.
I will have no choice.
The storm is coming.
The storm is coming. The storm coming.
But we have hope. A rainbow coalition of people of every creed and color are coming together in love to protect marriage.
All right. So
in
that's
love. Okay, good.
So that's the original.
Wow.
And it's real. And it begs a lot of questions, like how exactly are your freedoms going to be taken away? I don't understand that.
I don't. But apparently your marriage will be destroyed if gays are allowed to marry.
That's
I know
correct.
That.
And you'll be forced true. Into gaydom.
Most likely, yes.
So Stephen Colbert does his version of this.
There's a storm gathering.
A giant gay storm.
With rough winds blowing in.
Did you know that if all 50 states approve gay marriage, straight marriage becomes illegal?
What?
Yes, I heard that somewhere.
I like gay people, but only as hilarious best friends in TV and movies.
I am an Arkansas teacher.
God, the Hummer storm got me. But there is hope. Join the Colbert Coalition, a rainbow of proud people coming together in a commercial. I won't let them make you retroactively gay, Peepop.
He's holding a picture of his, dad, granddad,
aww,
somebody. So I didn't realize that it was that they were going to make you retroactively gay. That was an eye-opener.
That's alarming.
For me.
You don't want that.
So then Will Ferrell's site, Funny or Die, they put up a commercial to mock this as well.
I'm a California doctor who must choose between my faith and my job because doctors hate gay marriage.
I'm a Massachusetts mother, helplessly standing by as the schools teach my children that gay marriage is okay. I also have an issue with their hot lunch program.
I'm a Connecticut weatherman,
And there's a cold front coming in, and it's gay people, okay? They're here, and we are here, the not gay people, okay? They are trying to get us. Be careful, and wind chill will definitely be a factor, so bundle up.
This storm is being caused by gay marriage.
That's what's up there. Married gay people. And they're doing all this.
Soon, gay people will start falling out of the sky.
What? Onto our homes.
Onto our churches. And onto our families. And this gay rain army won't stop.
Until all of us and our children are gay married.
The storm is coming.
But we have hope. People of every creed, race, and color are coming together to build a giant umbrella of faith, morality, and righteousness that will protect us from this gay rain army. And that's not just a metaphor. We're actually building an umbrella. So if you want to protect marriage, and if you have any experience building a giant umbrella, join us at www.giantgayrepellentumbrella.com.
So that was Jane Lynch, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
She's so great.
So go to krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page, click on Internet Roundup, and you can see all three. These are all video parodies, so you can watch them online as well.
This is the best.
It's a little nutty, and we are all going to be retroactively gay.
All right.
But it's not going to matter, because we're going to die from the swine flu. 6.7 KROQ is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean show for the very last time, because you're about to die. I hate to be the one to have to break the news to
you.
Well,
I think it'll take a while. I don't think it's going to happen, today.
Yeah, that's what they want to tell us.
I think it's a...
That's what they want to tell us. The swine flu is here, people. The swine flu.
It is here.
Now, I'm not sure what it is yet. I think it's some kind of flu that comes from swine. But,
I think you're right.
Apparently, it is time to panic. And here's some of the coverage that's been going on about the swine flu.
This strain of swine influenza that's been cultured in the laboratory is something that's not been seen anywhere actually in the United States and the world. So this is actually a new strain of influenza that's been identified.
Swine flu breeds in pigs, spreads then from person to person. It's infected 8 people in this country, 1,000 people in Mexico. 68 people there have died. That's up from 60 just a few hours ago.
The most recently confirmed case involved a child in the San Diego area who's recovered.
Oh.
There is word tonight of a potential health concern. Federal health officials are reporting 7 cases of a strange new kind of swine flu found so far in California and Texas.
75 students at a high school here in New York City have now fallen ill with flu-like symptoms and are being tested for swine flu.
Officials say it is here already, but they say it's only a matter of time before they actually confirm the case here. 48 confirmed cases in the U.S., 13 in California. Health officials are testing a student now in Claremont and her mom after they became sick following a trip to Mexico. Nearly 150 people have died in Mexico. No deaths reported in the U.S. at this point.
What? No deaths?
Not yet. At this point.
So that's the swine flu. We're all going to die. It's coming in from Mexico. Don't go to Mexico. Europeans are saying don't come to America.
Right.
It's just full-on panic.
Right.
And you know we love that. I love full-on panic. It really makes me happy.
Let's make it worse.
Let's make it worse. That's what I'm trying
to
do. I want people to go wherever they go today, school, work, whatever, and tell everyone that they're going to die. And this might be the last day.
We should all be wearing masks.
That's correct.
Right
yes.
now.
Yeah. If you watch TV for 30 seconds today, you'll see somebody wearing those masks. So we had our producer Alex line up somebody, I think from the CDC. I'm not sure who we're speaking
okay.
to. K-Rock, hello.
Hello?
Is this the CDC?
No, this is a swine.
This is a swine?
Yeah.
Are you the cause of the swine flu?
Well, not me personally.
Okay.
But I know the guy who is.
You do know the guy.
Oh, wow.
So they guess they thought you should talk to me.
Because
it does come from swine.
You're the PR swine?
I am the spokes pig.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. What's going on with the swine flu? I'm sorry, the swine flu.
You said
very
spine,
different.
Didn't
I did
you?
Say spine.
Spine flu?
That's different.
Spine
that's what
flu
you
too?
Have.
No, that one's
run,
next.
There's a spine flu.
No, there's no spine flu.
Everyone,
nope,
run,
nope. It's
spine
just
flu.
I misspoke. It's the swine.
Wait a minute, you misspoke?
Yeah, I know. It's hard to believe.
Wow.
Hey, how do you know that?
Hey, well, I'm a pig. I'm not deaf.
All right. Explain the swine flu to us. What happened?
Swine flu is a strain of influenza that you catch from having sex with fat Mexican girls.
I don't think that's
true. That is not at all what we heard.
No, it is.
I don't think that's the case.
We've been getting a bad rap here. And it's just, it's the wrong kind of pig. You've been talking about the wrong kind of pig.
Really?
It has nothing to do with you guys.
No.
Wow.
It's fat Mexican girls.
In that... You're not just trying to put it on somebody else because you're embarrassed.
Look at the evidence. Where's it coming from?
Mexico.
Thank you. Well, what do they have in Mexico?
Pigs.
Right.
Okay.
But that's what I'm talking about.
No, we mean pigs like you.
Pigs.
No.
Yes.
No. Look. What? Pigs are notoriously clean animals, first of all.
Yeah, that is accurate, I guess, if you include mud in that notoriously clean category.
And feces.
Sure.
Right.
And that.
And flop.
Right. So not so clean.
So it's not from us, really.
It isn't.
It's mostly from donkey shows.
What?
Donkey shows and cheap Coronas, like Coronitos, those little ones.
Right.
In a bucket. You can get it from those.
It sounds like you're just trying to cast dispersions on anything other than you.
I'm saying look at the evidence.
Well, that's the evidence is it comes from pigs.
That's what I'm saying. Now we're saying the same thing.
Okay, good.
A pig named Juanita. With like a tattoo of a tear coming out of her eye.
Now, the authorities are starting to panic and say no one should go to Mexico.
Right.
No one should come here from Mexico.
Exactly.
Europeans are saying don't come to America.
Yes.
Are you proud?
And some people are saying kill some pigs.
They are saying that, yeah.
And that's why I'm telling you.
I see.
Let's look at the Mexican fat girls first.
I see.
Before we do anything rash.
So it's self-protection.
And by the way, you can get a rash from them, too.
You can?
Well, that is true.
You can get a rash from those girls.
Wow.
Yeah. They're dirty.
How did the first case jump from a pig to a human, if I might ask?
I think you're missing the point of my story here.
Well, I know. You're insisting that it's fat chicks in Mexico, but...
Exactly. So it didn't jump.
Well, but let's just say if it had...
If it had come from your kind.
Yeah.
Then how might that have happened?
Probably a farmer in Washington State on an island.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, he is not here. So that's an interesting point.
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe down with the flu.
I'm pretty sure he's married to a fat Mexican chick. So it all works out, see?
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. A half hour from now, we have Heidi and Spencer from the Hills. On the phone, we have Hugh Jackman on the program today. Sorry, Ralph. Have your mic on. Steve-O's coming in a little bit later, but first let's take care of some inside business, if you guys don't mind.
Lisa, did you see what Serena was wearing yesterday on Gossip Girl? So awesome.
Oh, my God.
See, he thinks nice he's kidding around.
He
thinks
Gossip
he's kidding around, but he's
day.
Not kidding around.
It was a beautiful dress.
Let's, Ralph, why don't you tell us what started this conversation yesterday?
Sitting in the office yesterday, and unsolicited... Dave, the King of Mexico, starts a conversation with Miss Cleo with, Miss Cleo, have you seen Kim Kardashian's new hair, her new hair color? What do you think of it? I don't like it. I don't think it goes with her skin tone so good. I think she was better when she was a brunette.
Excuse me, Ralph. She asked me what I thought of
you
her hair
started
color.
It.
She IM'd me. But, you know,
okay,
she asked me a question and I gave her my honest opinion.
But let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Why did she not... Ask any Mike, Ralph, me, Lisa that same question.
Because you guys are on the air.
Oh, yeah.
And you shouldn't ask Alex, who's a woman who sits 3 feet away from her.
Because that's what me and Cleo talk about.
I was going to say, that has to be based on conversations that you've already had with her where you talk about.
You are Cleo's girlfriend.
Skin tone and hair color and makeup.
I mean, but you guys agree with me, right? The hair color was awful.
Yeah. I don't have an opinion on it.
I think she looks good both ways.
I do too.
To me, really.
That's not the point, though. The point is that you're a girl. And we've been saying you're a girl for a long time because of your taste in TV shows.
Yeah.
He loves the gossip. Anything that an 11, 12-year-old girl should like.
Gossip
music.
Girl,
he's into music. He's going to follow Paramore, no doubt, around. He's super pumped about it.
That's an awesome tour, though.
Yeah, but it's a little femmy. Especially when you dress as Haley.
I'm not sure I like your makeup.
You're going to yell to them when they're on stage.
I'll use less eyeshadow, make it less like green because it brings, makes you look too pale.
By the way, let's not forget about the inauguration. Right after the inauguration, we all came in talking about the ceremony and everything. Dave goes, I like Michelle Obama's dress at the ball, but right. not the one that
the
she...
The second one, not the first one.
The first one, it wasn't becoming of her.
No, it really wasn't.
Right, but the issue is not whether it's
but,
that good
am
or
I wrong on any of this? Am I wrong on any of this? Come on.
The issue is not whether it's a good or bad dress. The issue is none of us have an opinion on which dress we liked best.
Which is fine. I do.
Even Lisa didn't care. She's a girl. How do you care about that stuff? You see Dave going through like Star Magazine and all these other ones. He's like, I like this dress best.
Well, Mike, you said when he hangs out with your wife, it's like hanging out with two chicks.
Oh, it's unbelievable. In fact, when my wife got her new car, my wife drives a Mini Cooper. And it's a great car. It's well-engineered, drives great, but it's great for a girl, and everyone that encounters it says the same thing, except this one right here. Oh, I love this car. I wish I could have one for
myself.
That's
not true, by the way. A lot of guys drive Mini Coopers.
Bean drives a Mini Cooper. Yeah, thank you.
Bean, gay.
Well, I don't know. I think
but don't they hang out looking at Us Weekly and all those magazines?
We do rock the Who Wears It Better.
Can I just point out, though? That Dave is spending time with Mike's wife sitting on the couch.
Because I do the girl stuff with her.
If he wasn't doing that, he would not
but
be on
not
the couch
the kind,
with her.
See, it's not the kind of time you want to spend
well,
with
it's
Mike's
either.
Wife.
When that it's not time with
Mike's
kind of time, time
I want to spend with Mike's, Mike's wife, it's with another chick, and then, you know, business time after that.
That's what I'm saying. There's no business time. You do not work.
Business time.
Hey, who wore it better into sex?
Into
that
business time. Who wore it better? No connection. You know what looks good? Not that on you. Take it off. Bam.
Spend
business
time watching TMZ, doing that, reading those magazines with women. And by the way, to get biological on it, all of us as men have higher internal body temperature. We're all fine here in the studio most of the time.
Right. Lisa's the only one that complains.
The only dude who's ever like, oh, I can't take it. It's Arctic in here. I'm going to die. It's so cold.
Fingerless gloves.
I need a blanket. Literally in blankets.
What does that have
work?
To do with anything?
Because you
You're a girl.
Have a vagina. You are a girl.
That's what it has to do with it.
Yeah. Alex told me, and tell me if this is true or not, that when Glamour magazine comes in, to the station, a lot of times they can't find it, and it's because you took it first.
I take it first. You know why? What's in Glamour magazine? Hot chicks!
Oh, I don't want to hear
don't
that.
Don't even no. start.
That's why.
Don't
no.
even
hot
go
chicks!
There.
No.
You know what?
No.
So you should have a bunch of Playboys and stuff with hot chicks over by your desk? Is that true?
What, do we get Playboys? No.
Yeah, we do.
Well, when we do, you take them, so.
Other people take them, yeah.
Manly men take them.
There's not a lot of guys fighting for the glamours, Dave. That's what we're saying.
I'm just saying, hot chicks.
Yeah, I know you're saying that, but that's not why you like it.
Yes,
you like it,
is. It
because it has dresses and makeup and beauty secrets.
I don't know much about
that.
Makeup. But I know what looks good.
And there's no, and in the day and age of egotastic.com and what would Tyler Durden do?
Which
and
I
Maxim
all
Magazine, all
Which
this
I
stuff.
All
there's no need to thumb through a 300-page glamour to get three shots of a chick that might be looking
right.
kind of hot.
Right.
There's no
mostly
need.
Perfume and makeup ads.
Hey, it comes in. I go, hey, take a look. Right to Alex. Look right. at all the hot chicks. Right to Alex.
I don't buy the hot chick yeah. thing. That's ridiculous. Yeah. That's the same thing about the people who watch Dancing with the Stars that go, oh, because one of the girls is hot. And you go, well, you can see hot chicks anywhere. You don't have to watch that TV show for it.
I don't watch that.
You don't have to.
I don't watch that.
You're missing the point, Dave. We're saying your defense of Glamour magazine is what people say when they're watching Dancing with the Stars or ice skating or anything else that's totally femme, but they say, no, I do it for the chicks.
Right. It's a false argument.
I had this conversation with Dave about 2 years ago. Hey, Dave, it's Mike. There's a band pack show out in Pasadena. I'd love for you to come. Oh, that's cool. I will come because I could go to the new H&M before. I'm so excited.
What?
The new one's opening up. I'm going to stop by the new H&M and then go to your show. That's great.
That was true, but I didn't go because it was all chick clothes. So.
Well, that's what they sell at H&M.
What's wrong with
no,
you?
No, they sell dude clothes
It was
at H&M
the fact
too,
that he said
that
these were
excited about that.
Before I could even get out, I have
well,
a show.
H&M
said,
was just coming to Los Angeles. It's a brand new store.
Who gets excited about
it's
shopping?
An awesome store.
Who gets excited about shopping?
What's wrong with getting excited about shopping?
You shop when you have to. If you're a man, you go shopping because you have to
because
you're out of clothing and you need clothes.
Mike.
What?
You shop.
Not with my own money. Not very often.
Yeah.
And not very often. I don't shop that. If people give me a lot of free clothes,
But guys
and
shop.
You and your sister
but wait
go
a minute.
Shopping.
Guys shop because they have to. girls love it.
Yes,
as
I
well
agree,
as Dave.
But Mike is not.
Let's talk about Omar. All Every right. time Dave goes to a club, he requests a specific song that Omar says only chicks request. There's no dudes actually request this. So
yeah, play it.
So I have Omar in there. Hang on one second.
Yeah.
This is a jam, ladies. Motions.
Come on.
Wow.
You know who requests this song?
Me.
This girls? Guy. A lot of girls?
Yeah, you know why?
And you
know why?
He's got a vagina and two thumbs. This guy.
You know why they request it? Because then they get on the dance floor, and who's out there with them? This guy right here.
You?
Where are you at?
You're
in your booth, just hanging out, drinking.
You're
I'm partying on the dance floor with chicks.
So your defense.
A bundle of chicks.
Okay.
Where are you at? Say something. Come on.
Are you yelling like that when you're dancing with them?
Pretty much, because you can't hear. Because
so your stuff. Defense for be for having a vagina is that you somehow are
look,
manly
you,
enough.
So
to
you're a lesbian. Lesbian. Look,
what you're
you
saying
is you're a lesbian.
Point, and you guys are missing the point. You got to
no,
know the enemy.
No, you're missing
man.
The point.
You got to know the enemy. Just like Rage Against the Machine
Who's
said.
Who's the enemy?
Know the enemy.
Why are women the enemy?
Females, man. And then
wow,
you get what happened
there,
here?
You break it down, and then you score touchdown.
What the hell?
So weak.
Who scored a touchdown and why?
Are we talking to Tommy Lee? It was let's, like 10 things he just said that made no sense.
Let's go to Chris. Chris is going to shed some light on this. Chris,
hey.
All right.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi. King of Mexico is a girl. What do you think?
Well, I'm not going to argue a whole lot, but I do have to remind everybody in the studio that he is the only one who had sex with a Miss Double December.
Thank you!
Well, woo!
Wow.
All right, guys.
Wow.
I'm not
Thanks,
arguing.
Chris.
I hear every word you're saying. So maybe she was a lesbian. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, maybe. It's possible.
Wow. You know, you bring up a good point, but every other male member of the staff had been married at that point. I mean, you can't really use that as a gauge.
Or otherwise, you'd have all been on it, right?
Yeah. That may be true. That may be true. But we have a certified, guaranteed case of him having sex with a woman.
Yeah, but yeah. She was the aggressor. Not him. And he's acting like he's turning all of this chick stuff
and it was
into
one,
action.
It was one in like 15 years, really.
You guys just don't know, man.
What don't we know, don't Dave? Know. What do we not know?
You just don't know the work I put in, yo.
All right. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
Oh, my mic has been so hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Coming up just after the top of the hour, we have Heidi and Spencer. And yesterday I was asking for some email questions.
Mm-hmm.
Some are helpful.
Yeah.
Some not quite as.
What percentage would you say would be not quite as?
Well, like Ray, when they get into the studio, he thought they were coming into the studio. They're just going to be on the phone. When they get into the studio, can you both and Lisa just shoot them on site? It would save me some time and ammo. Thanks.
See, that's not
helpful.
That's
not helpful. That isn't helpful at all.
No.
But she's got a new song, Heidi does. And it's good.
I think there are real questions to be asked of these two.
As do I.
I don't know if you're the person to ask them, well, but I think there are questions to be asked.
I'll ask any question.
In a reasonable,
I'm
sort
not,
of
I'm
measured
not,
manner, without attacking
at,
them.
That's not my strength.
Just explore the phenomenon of the fact that these two people have been famous for years for absolutely no reason. I think it's a phenomenon that we have an opportunity to explore.
I will explore it.
Okay.
Oh, God. They're going to hang up in like 10 seconds.
I know.
It's going to be the end of it.
I'm going to Hasselhoff their asses. 6:53, time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Why are you stupid? That's going to be his first question.
Hugh Jackman in the 7 o'clock hour as well.
Yeah, you going to be mean to him, too?
No, I love him.
Be nice to him.
He's Wolverine. The best.
Before I get into the showbiz news, this week's just been, well, it's only Tuesday.
Yeah, but I was going to say.
The past couple weeks, we've been exploring the bad edits of movies when movies go onto television.
Right.
And I brought the fact last week that there's no need really for movies to be on television anymore because we've got plenty of channels on cable to handle that kind of stuff. If you want to see movies, you go to HBO or Showtime or you know, someplace that's not a network that's going to edit our favorite films and make them ridiculous.
Yes.
You used to have to because there weren't that many channels or people didn't have them or whatever. But now there's no need whatsoever.
Especially with DVDs and, you know, Blu-ray and all the technology and cable. There's plenty of places to watch a movie on television that doesn't have to ruin it by re-dubbing the dialogue and making it sound stupid. And we started with Samuel L. Jackson from Snakes on a Plane, where he was talking about the snakes and his mother effing snakes on his mother effing plane.
Enough is enough! I have had it with these monkey-fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane!
Come on.
See? That's just this horrible.
Wow.
Why do that?
And so listeners have been sending me in clips. Yesterday we talked about Big Lebowski, which was funny. With this is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps.
Yeah.
Instead of effing a stranger in the A.
Yeah.
And today I have from Scarface.
Oh.
I've got Tony Montana.
Why would
played
they
by
even,
the classic Al Pacino.
Why would they even try to play that
See,
on
this
network
is what
TV?
I'm saying. Why would you bother trying
the
to F put word Scarface
from beginning
on
to
television?
End. Yeah. Yes.
When he's talking about when he first comes to Miami, how he's going to take over the town. And he says, Miami is a P word just waiting to be effed.
Okay.
That's what he's saying to his brother.
All right.
This is what we get on regular television.
This town like a great big chicken just waiting to be plucked.
Yeah.
No.
A big chicken waiting to be plucked.
Kind of the same.
Sort of.
This town is like a great big chicken waiting to be plucked.
Not nearly as tough as when Tony's talking about plucking a chicken. Yeah, it's bad.
You lose a little bit of
Stop it. What I'm saying is stop it.
Stop it. All right.
Farrah Fawcett's son, Redmond O'Neill, was released from jail over the weekend so he could spend some time with his mother. He has been popped for drugs twice in the past couple months. Now, people are speculating what this means about Farrah Fawcett's health, because usually this move is reserved for when a family member of a prisoner is gravely ill, so they have them released to attend a funeral or similar crisis. But Farrah's people are saying her condition has not gotten worse. She's still battling cancer, but she's fine. However, now people are speculating because Redmond was let out over the weekend. Maybe it was to say goodbye.
Oh, boy.
So we'll have to wait and see what happens there. Robert Pattinson says that he never would have gotten into acting if it wasn't for his dad. I guess he has a lot to thank him for. He's got a huge movie career now, millions of fans all over the world. He tells Access Hollywood that his father noticed a lot of girls going into a theater for an audition one day and urged his son to head on in, too.
Oh, that's nice.
Wow.
Hey, son, you can score.
Or,
look at those
son,
chicks.
You're a girl. Why don't you go do what those girls are doing?
One
that's
the
what
other.
I'm thinking.
Come on.
Saying.
He's dreamy.
Like
he's
oh,
Edward.
Girls like me because I'm like that and I lie about my age.
I didn't bring that up. Dave lies about his age.
Like a woman. Miley Cyrus has troubles.
Really?
She is in a, well, yeah, her teeth.
Trouble with her teeth.
But most of all, she's got this love triangle going on.
What love
See,
triangle?
See, here's the thing. She is dating underwear model Justin Gaston.
Oh!
But she's still really, really good friends with Nick Jonas from the Jonas Brothers, her first boyfriend.
Okay.
And Justin's a little jealous of her relationship with Nick. Justin's afraid that Miley might leave him in order to reestablish her relationship with Nick. You see her problem?
But isn't Nick, like, wearing the ring?
Yes, Lisa. He's got the promise ring on, which means he's not going to give up his sexuality until he's married.
Right.
Justin wears no such ring.
So Justin must be really bad.
Justin is wearing Miley Cyrus like a ring.
But he can't do that because that
have,
wouldn't
but
be
he doesn't
legal,
have the
right?
dreamy qualities of Nick. Oh, my God, I just grew a vagina. You just telling this story.
Just right there.
Maybe yeah. Dave can help us with that.
Maybe he can. He can tell us what's going on. Oh, I don't think that's a good idea for her to get back with him. Because her hair color doesn't match her skin tone. Our friend Paul Lee, our artist,
yes.
friend,
mm-hmm.
says, really, we got to start calling Dave the Queen of Mexico. And he's going to do some artwork to support that for us. So
that's
we
great.
May have a new T-shirt coming up pretty soon.
Great idea.
Yeah.
Hey, those Jonas Brothers assholes!
Yeah, that's true.
DVDs in stores today, if you're so inclined. It is Tuesday. That means new DVDs in stores today. Hotel for Dogs.
Yeah.
Starring Emma Roberts and Lisa Kudrow. Remember what Kevin said about that, Mike?
Yeah, you I remember? Did. I forgot about
yeah.
that.
I'm sorry. Oh,
man. Just slugged him right in the nuts.
Nice.
I warned him last hour, right?
You sure did.
All right.
Star Trek, the original series, season one on Blu-ray is available today if you want to check that out.
You're fine.
The Uninvited, starring Elizabeth Banks. Also in stores today, Purple Rain on Blu-ray. Bride Wars, Kate Hudson and Anne Hathaway. Woo-hoo. Boy, they sure fight over their wedding
I'll
dates.
Tell you, I'll tell you, they used to be friends.
But now they have a big problem.
Not anymore.
Stupid Lisa!
And X-Men fans, the animated series, which was just one of the greatest animated series ever.
I don't think I ever
the
saw
X-Men
that.
X-Men cartoon series, it was great. And the one of the best parts was it gave us this theme song. Love this animated series.
They really, really blew the bank on the instrumentation, too,
they
didn't
sure
they?
Sure did.
Casio.
Some high quality right
That's
there.
Two or three Casios playing all the same time. Anyway, if you're a fan like I am of the animated series, volumes 1 and 2 on DVD today. I can't believe they haven't been out before. You'd think they would have released them before this.
That
really was a great cartoon. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jay Leno is 59 years old today. Singer-bassist Kim Gordon of Sonic Youth turns 56. Bridget Moynihan celebrates her 38th birthday. Jorge Garcia from Lost turns 36. Penelope Cruz is 35. And Jessica Alba celebrates her 28th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
And now, another drama-filled moment on the hills.
First off, like I've told you many times, she's not my type. She doesn't have blonde hair, and I'm into blondes, so...
Oh, okay, good to know. Wow.
That was a drama-filled moment on the hills.
How do they keep up that pace week after week? That's my first question.
Good question.
How do you pack a show with that kind of drama each week, week in and week out? Never a break.
Hollywood magic.
Got to tell you, I really respect these people. We're going to talk to Heidi and Spencer in just a second. Hugh Jackman is coming up this hour as well. Wolverine, of course, X-Men Origins.
His fourth time playing this role, by the way. That's a lot for a character.
Yeah, it is. Especially when they have to put metal spikes in your hands.
He said he almost wasn't going to do it.
Really?
Yeah, he thought the character was getting a little soft by the third X-Men movie. He thought it lost sort of its ferocity, which is one of the things he liked doing about it. But they brought it back for this movie.
So. Now he's a slasher?
Yeah, now he's a berserker. He's a berserker.
So we have that coming up. We also have Steve-O coming into the studio.
Ah, yeah. Steve-O. He's
the
best.
Yeah, dude.
He's the best.
Yeah, I am.
Psycho Mike and King of Mexico were at Rob Dyrdek's Fantasy Factory last week, at the end of last week, with Nitro Circus. And they were talking to Steve-O. Mm-hmm. And cool guy.
Yes.
Much clearer now that he's...
It's not only, you know, mentally, obviously he's a lot clearer because he's not using drugs and stuff. He physically looks like a different guy. He looks 10 years younger. He looks alert, and he's just...
I've seen snippets of him from his Dancing with the Stars stint, and it's remarkable. He does look radically different physically. Almost, he looks like his brother. You look like, oh, yeah. That guy kind of looks like Steve-O.
Yeah,
he looks
exactly.
Healthy and sort of buff, and just, it's remarkable.
I'm happy to see that. The last time he was here...
Yeah.
We were all scared.
We didn't know if he was going to make it.
He came in without shoes, and his pants were unzipped and around his knees. And
kept drifting off
in the middle
of a conversation.
It was really rough.
Yeah.
And we like him, so you go, well, I sure don't want to see you implode like this.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool to see that he's kind of getting his life together, and there's going to be a cool new documentary on MTV, I think, this weekend.
It is. Oh, it's cool. This Sunday. He actually not only filmed his recovery... He filmed the last year of his use.
Right.
So you get to really
wow.
The demise and rise of Steve-O.
Why was he filming the last year of his use?
Well, I think because he's, you know, been in Jackass so long, he just always had handheld digital cameras around, and he thought it would be funny, you know, filming himself using 600 vials of nitrous in one day and stuff like that.
Wow.
And a lot of the footage is pretty chilling.
Mm. All right. Well, so that's going to be on Sunday night. That should be
is
very
Dr.
cool.
Drew in this show?
He is, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, no surprise.
Well, of course, in every show.
Show where Dr. Drew doesn't show up.
Did Steve-O go to him? Is that where he got clean?
I believe Steve-O spent the majority of his stint in Los Encinas, where Dr. Drew is the addiction specialist. Yeah.
How about that?
Huh.
All right, Heidi and Spencer Pratt on the phone.
Word up.
Newlyweds.
Hey, you guys, I don't even need to call in. You got your own Spencer. He's like way cooler than me, too.
That's right, we do.
What? Who's this imposter? Who's this? Hello?
Yeah, there he is.
Yeah, what's up, Chief? How you doing, bud? Where are you calling from?
We are calling from the pig flu capital of the world.
Oh. You guys went to Mexico?
We were trying to catch this pig flu and bring it over to your little radio.
You know what? That'd be kind of sweet because I bet Heidi'd lose some more weight if she got the swine flu. That'd be hot, right, kid? Right, Captain?
That is very good.
That's our Spencer. Our Spencer.
We were listening when you did the Kim Kardashian thing. We were busting up laughing.
Yeah. Have you heard any of the songs that you've done?
Oh, I would love to next time.
Yeah. Next time.
Is Heidi there or no? She's not there?
I'm here.
She is.
Ah.
Congratulations on your wedding, kids.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Where do we start?
Well, let me start. I was thinking, as all the coverage happened about your wedding this weekend, is it ever weird to you guys? Do you ever stop and look at your life and say, we are constantly being looked at, being watched, largely because we're famous because we're famous, basically. Is it weird?
It's a lot of fun.
Right, but...
I mean, yeah, obviously it's weird, but how weird is life? Come on now, like, what's not weird if you want to start breaking down things?
But usually, it, somebody does something and it attracts attention.
Oh, wow. They're really good in that new movie. Oh, that's something to be a fan for.
It's no, like, but that's a skill. I mean, it's different to be famous for not having a skill.
I'll have every actor and I'll argue all day long about their skill set.
But they're doing something. Love it or hate it, they're doing something that elicits that reaction, right?
We do things all day long to keep that pseudo fame you talk about going on. So,
but Spencer, aren't you famous specifically, you and not Heidi, aren't you famous because of being a giant tool? I mean,
I'll take it. I laugh all the way to the bank.
No, I know.
We're not arguing that.
I understand that, but I'm saying that's what you're famous for, right? If you weren't a tool, no one would
pay attention.
No, don't even argue, Heidi. That is exactly what I'm famous for, and I'm proud of it. Thank you very much.
What's that?
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I'm over here loving life, and, you know, you guys are in your little radio show. I'm looking at the ocean feeling like a huge tool, and it feels great.
But at what point, though, does that stop being enough
It'll
for
never
you?
End, my man. I'm so cozy. I love my lane. I'll be a tool of America for life.
No, but I would just think at some point in your life you would want to do more with it.
No, you know, just like you guys, you know, inspired to be radio DJs. I'm pretty cool being the tool. I feel like I've been listening to your guys' radio show since I was in sixth grade, so that makes you guys like 100.
It does, yes, 105. Did you start out, how do I ask this?
Being a tool?
Yeah, no.
Oh.
Did you start out knowing that the way to get press in today's society, you watched other, you know, reality shows? And,
like Omarosa,
yes,
people like that?
And the people who were kind of hateable are the ones that everybody kind of focused on. Did you know that and do it on purpose going in, or did you realize halfway through I'm a tool?
It's 101 in any story. The villain is everybody's favorite, at least mine. You know, in Batman, all you care about is the Joker.
Right. Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, I love the fact that, you know, people hate me. It's really weird, but it just keeps it going.
Heidi, do you love the fact that people hate you?
I don't even want to talk about it. I don't like this whole negative energy and this whole conversation. So if you guys want to talk about something positive or something good, I'll chime in, but I'm not into this. So.
Are you happy that Spencer...
But, you know, Heidi, people have these questions.
No, but you guys are just taking it a little.
All right, let's talk about something.
Heidi's from Colorado, sweet little snowy town. I am from the heart of L.A., so I love this, you guys. Bring it on.
Let's talk about something positive.
No, right. Let's keep talking.
No, I want Heidi to be in it as well. So, Heidi, are you happy that your man is so successful at being a tool?
I love your little girl that gets paid to laugh at your jokes.
I thought that was funny.
Pay her to laugh. That's what I want to know. Does she get like $1 per laugh, or do you just have her on record?
Yeah, it's just a record.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Heidi, answer the question. I think she loves it. Otherwise, she wouldn't be marrying the famous tool. Right?
I got an email asking Heidi if you watch The Hills, because if you did, why would you be with Spencer?
That's a good answer to your question. We don't watch The Hills, so that's probably why. That's the trick to keeping Heidi with me, is not letting her watch The Hills.
Are you completely different off when you're not in front of the cameras?
Nope, it's a reality show. I'm exactly like I am when I'm that huge tool douchebag on the TV show.
So you can't drop it, ever?
No, I live it 24/7. So when I call you my amazing favorite Ken and Bean and their little laughing sidekick, or are you Bean the girl? Is that Bean?
No, but like when it's just you and Heidi, just you guys, are you different?
I don't. It's never just us. The cameras is always there.
No, come on. Your honeymoon night. It's just you guys.
Well, of course, we're different. We know there's three cameras there. Come on. It's not like everybody's different when there's not people around and cameras. Like, duh.
Okay.
Yeah, Lisa, duh.
Yeah, come on now. You even got a duh.
Heidi, you have a new CD.
Yeah.
All right. See, that was positive.
See?
Baby steps.
That was positive.
And I'm guessing, unlike your husband, you aspire to do something more with your exposure and your fame than just be whatever it is the Hills has painted you out to be.
Well, I have been working very hard for 2 years on my album and doing this independently. So every song is, you know, my life put into it. It's not just the label pushing it. It's me doing everything with Spencer. And, you know, it's been...
Did you write the songs? I'm sorry to interrupt.
I write a lot of them, but this one I did not.
This one being Look How I'm Doing?
Which one do you guys have, Look How I'm Doing?
I think Look How I'm Doing is the one that we have.
Kathy Dennis wrote that, who wrote I Kissed a Girl for Katy Perry and Toxic for Britney Spears, and I'm sure you guys know who she is. But yeah. So her and I have been working a lot together on my new album, and yeah, thank you guys for talking about that.
Here's a little part of that song. Makes me kind of funny the way the table's done, because now it's you who's sweating and it's me who's not concerned. That's a little taste of what you can get. You can get that on iTunes today, right?
Yes, you can. And thank you so much for playing it.
You're welcome.
That's Look How I'm Doing.
See, look, they're so positive, Heidi.
See?
Talking.
No. We're positive toward Heidi. We don't have a problem with her. Except for bad taste in guys.
I would hate me so much if I TiVo'd me and had to listen to me on radio. I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
I feel your pain.
I would.
I
really don't think you do feel our pain.
I do.
I don't think you do.
No, I promise you I do. And I really do feel for you, and there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah.
I have medical conditions.
Hey, player, let him keep hating, right? You know, as long as you're balling up in Hollywood, it's all good, right, Chief?
Yeah.
Isn't that illegal, by the way?
Doing a celebrity impression?
Nope.
No, like actually pretending that you are someone repeatedly. Yeah. People thinking that because... My mom called or someone was like, Spencer was just on the radio. And
Heidi, you know as well as anyone, people are always trying to be Spence Dog on MySpace, Facebook. They're trying to make money off the Spence Dog name, but there's only one flesh-colored beard, and it's up in this house.
I love it. If you would do my message machine for me, I would really drive to your radio show to come get that.
If you promise to do mine, I 100% promise to do yours.
All right, when we're back in LA, I promise I will come get that.
All right.
All right, there we go. All right, then.
We got to go. Thank you, guys. Look How I'm Doing is the name of the song. It's on iTunes, and The Hills is on...
Do you guys have a Twitter account?
Yeah. Yes.
What is it? Kevin and Bean?
I think it's K-Rock. I think it's Twitter/K. I don't know. Dave the King of Mexico runs it, but that's what it is, yeah.
Well, Spencer Pratt is going to be following
All
you.
Right.
Yep, there it is.
Fair enough.
Honestly, though, thank you so much for the impressions. God bless you. I love you guys for saying my name anytime on your radio show.
All right. Thank you, Heidi.
Mexico.
Don't get the flu.
Thank you, guys.
Bye now. Well, that went well.
Went better than I expected, quite frankly.
Hugh Jackman is kind of standing by, so let's kind of take a quick break and kind of come right back with Hugh Jackman,
shall we? Let's kind of do that.
Thank you, Lisa. It is 7:22 now, and we have Hugh Jackman on the line. Hello, Hugh.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning, Hugh.
Good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you. First and foremost, before we get into X-Men Origins and your new Wolverine film, got to say congratulations on your work as the host of the Oscars. You were terrific.
Thank you so much, guys. I had an absolute ball, I tell you. It was like the greatest party I've ever been to.
That has to be a pressure-filled gig, though.
Yeah, man, the hardest thing, you guys will understand this, it's more like about 6 weeks out when you go to the production meeting and they have written out their Act 1, Hugh Jackman opening, 7/8 minutes,
right.
Commercial break 1.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, can we stop the meeting?
Can we talk about filling that 8 minutes?
7/8 minutes?
Yeah, right.
Once you work it out, it's okay. It was great fun, and there probably couldn't be a nicer, warmer crowd out there. I mean, they're more nervous than you are, to be honest.
Yeah, that's true. Everyone in the audience is hoping for their award, I guess, so they're not paying that much.
And I know there's a camera on them the whole time,
yeah.
So, you know, they've got to put on their best face at least.
Although I have seen other hosts bomb and get eerie silence in that room, too, so.
Yeah, mate, well, I don't know. I had a great time. I had a lot of help. You know, the great thing about doing the Oscars is you can ring up whoever you like. That's what they told me. They said, ring whoever you want, man, and they'll help you out because it's the Oscars. I said, really? So, yeah. So I rang Ricky Gervais, had about 4 phone calls with him. He was awesome. Seth Meyer from SNL. I had the writers from the Sarah Silverman show help me out, John Mack. I mean, there was
good
lots
for
of
you.
Well,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smart man.
All right, let's talk about X-Men Origins Wolverine. It comes out Friday. tell us what we need to know about this. This is the fourth time you've played this character?
Yeah, but man, it feels like the first, because if anyone's seen the X-Men movies, let me assume you haven't. If you haven't, my character can heal himself, right? So you don't know exactly how old he is in all those X-Men movies, and he hasn't known anything about his past. So here we finally kind of, we fill in all the blanks. So for me, it was like playing him for the first time, and I just loved it. It's kind of the Wolverine that I came to know and love from the comic books, and he's pretty badass, let me put it that way.
Yeah, I understand you, what I'm reading is true, that you were sort of hesitant about playing the role for a fourth time because you wanted to get back to that sort of rage that he's known for in the comics and stuff.
I felt like he got maybe a little soft by the third one. I mean, there was no one's fault except really just where the story had to go, you know. But I wanted to get back to kind of really kind of who he was in the comic books. He's an intense character. He's fun. There's great action. He's certainly the guy you want on your side. But, I mean, he's not always a nice guy.
Yeah. I have a clip of this is the guy that's giving you the.
I think this is you and Danny Houston, who sort of runs the military project that makes you the man you are, right?
Yep, exactly.
You didn't come to warn me. You came to save your own ass.
You can't beat him, Logan. You know you can't.
I'm going to find him and kill him.
I can give you the tools to defeat him.
I promise you two things. You will suffer more pain than any other man can endure. But you will have your revenge. I come with you. I'm coming for blood. No law. No code of conduct. You point me in the right direction, you get the hell out of my way.
Come on. The guy says you're going to suffer more pain than any other human being. Don't you go, let's hold up on that point just a second.
Well, I do.
Let's talk about that particular thing first.
It's a bit of a misnomer, isn't it? The idea of a man embracing pain. It doesn't.
Yeah, I don't know anyone who does.
Bring it, Doc. Bring it. I can take it. Is Rebecca Romijn in this one? Is Mystique making an appearance in this one, please?
No, she's not. I mean, I didn't catch on this film. What an idiot, right?
You're a producer on the film and you didn't make that happen?
No Halle Berry.
Yeah.
No Rebecca Romijn.
The movie does seem like a bit of a sausage fest, Hugh. There is they got Liev Schreiber in there, Danny Houston. There seems like a lot of guys.
Works for me.
Lynn Collins.
That's right, yeah.
Collins in there, and she's hot. She's great, too.
Okay, we'll take her.
I tell you, my wife saw it, and when Taylor Kitsch came on as Gambit, all she said was, hubba, hubba.
She's married to Hugh Jackman.
Wait a minute. Your wife does that, too?
Yeah, and the producer in me was going, cool, and then all of a sudden I was like, this is not cool.
Yeah.
That's my wife. Anyway, Matt, I'm really, really excited about it. I think people will like the fact we have a whole lot of new characters. You know, it's different. It feels different than the X-Men movies, and yet, you know, it's got an element of what you've loved about them.
Now, I'm sorry to ask a question that's not all that informed, but is this particular movie, was this in the comics as well, or did they make this up for a movie only?
Yeah. No, there's elements of it. There's you see, this character, there was so much mystery around him, right? For about 25 years, they wrote him as someone with no past. Right? He had no memory.
Right.
And in about early 90s, they commissioned six different writers to do their version of the origins. And the most famous one we draw on here, and also there's a very famous comic book that the fans will know called Weapon X, which is really that scene you've seen from the trailer of me coming out of the tank, and that's kind of like the birth of Wolverine as we really know him. So that figures heavily, and apart from that, we've used various other bits and put it together to make a film.
I read in one of the articles about this. Is Wolverine a member of the Weasel family? Is that true? Actual Wolverines are Wolverines.
You're asking.
I think that is true.
It's true.
You're asking him about the animal, the Wolverine.
He's
Kevin?
I had no idea what a Wolverine was. I'd never heard of a Wolverine, right? We obviously don't have them in Australia. And I turned up on set assuming that this was kind of a cool comic book name for a wolf. Right? So I'd even been to that IMAX wolf thing. I'd done my research. And I turned up on set, and I remember people looking at me thinking, this is a little weird. I'm thinking, okay, maybe I shouldn't have shown them my wolf workshop.
Right.
And the director says, man, you know, wolverines are not wolves. And I was, there was this embarrassed silence. I was like, yeah, I knew
of
that.
Of course, yeah. I'm studying weasels. I got that.
Very small little animals. In fact, if you look very closely in the movie, there's a shot of a head of a Wolverine that one of the characters very, very nastily lops off.
Oh, nice.
So if you ever want to know what a Wolverine looks like, well, at least their head, you'll see it in the movie.
Oh, dear.
Just very briefly, though.
If there had been a superhero named the Wallaby, then you would have known. You would have what you were getting into.
The Wallaby.
Well, Hugh, this looks great. X-Men Origins Wolverine is the name of the movie. It starts Friday, and we really appreciate you coming on the show again, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks, Kid. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you.
Nice to talk to you guys.
Thank you. Bye. Last half hour, we had Hugh Jackman, and we had Heidi and Spencer.
Yeah, that was whiplash right there.
It was a strange half hour right there.
People who do nothing and then someone who does everything.
Shut your mouth.
Steve-O coming up just after the top of the hour. Right now, though, it is time for the Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. Any topic is fine, including King of Mexico being a girl.
King of Mexico, King of Mexico, King of Mexico, you rule.
Hey, another one of his little girls.
All right.
You know. He's one of them.
Go Lakers! Got my Laker flags!
She says that to bug Mike because she knows it drives him crazy.
Okay.
Lakers did win last night, though, and are moving on.
Lakers! Lakers!
We get calls like this all the time.
Hey, what do I do? There's a midget standing next to a pole. What should I do? Call me back and let me know, man. Need to know before it gets away.
We're not. This is. I don't think we're in a. We can act in a timely enough fashion that you can just hang out and wait for a return phone call.
Yeah.
On that,
you're gonna have to do whatever you think is best.
Blow dart and tag. That's what you do.
And then release.
And then release into the wild. Yeah. I mean, I think that's obvious. If you go to krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page, you can go to videos and see beer mug MMA. He did have pink shorts and a pink headband.
Yep. The next MMA beer mug, I don't know when that will be, but the next beer mug video out very soon, beer mug trains attack dogs.
That's correct.
Oh,
it's
going to
be amazing. Yeah. Yes.
Everybody needs their own beer mug. That's what I've determined.
He shoots, he scores! You, Kevin!
We were talking about Twitter. Ralph seems to be a little annoyed by the fact that most of the time, the things people Twitter about, no one cares about. Even you can't possibly care if you're just driving down the road and you type driving down the road. So he suggested a murder button so that when you read something like that, you could push a murder button and then it goes back down and kills them. I think it might be a little extreme, but this girl is very in love with it.
A murder button? I want a murder button. Where do you get those murder buttons? Murder button, murder button. I'd be murdering everybody.
I would have to murder someone for saying button.
Button?
I'm afraid.
Would she have already taken you out with her murder button?
Quite possibly.
Yeah. So what are you going to do?
How great is the Jack in the Box commercial with the midget cowboys? Come on! It's the best!
It is good.
Away out west, a story's told about midget cowboys, tiny and bold.
That is pretty strong, by the way. You want to know what people around here do for work at 2 in the afternoon?
What?
How busy are the King of Mexico and Omar?
How
what
busy?
Are they doing?
Yippee-yo! Me, sir, my burger! Yippee-yo! Me, sir, my burger! Yeah. 2 o'clock, day of the King of Mexico, DJ Oricon, we know what we're getting. Me, sir, my burger!
That was 2 a.m.
Oh, it was.
2 p.m. on Friday night when they were both wrecked.
Okay, I got you. That makes more sense then. But it wouldn't surprise me.
Because they sounded wrecked.
It wouldn't surprise me if they were wrecked at 2 in the afternoon either.
No.
So.
Ralph wears women's panties and he just said he's got an ass full of Seacrest. Oh, God, I knew he was gay.
And finally, we have a lot of inside jokes here at the Kevin and Bean Show, and we've learned that if we take them outside of this room, or if you're listening and you take it to other people who don't listen.
You mean like when we boo?
Yeah, you boo
somebody.
Whatever it is that we do that makes sense here, and then you do it out with everyone else, it's not necessarily appreciated in the same way.
Hey, so I was looking for an apartment, and I was sitting with the manager, and she said the rent is going to be $800 a month. And I said, and Mads? And everybody there looked at me weird. And I'm not getting an apartment there. Thanks for nothing, Kevin.
No, but you did the right thing. You just have to go ahead and do it.
If somebody says it's $800 a month, your response has to be automatic.
Yeah.
You have to say,
you can't help it.
And then just let, you know, let everything
whatever
fall
happens, happens.
That's
yeah.
just the way. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes till 8 o'clock. Steve-O coming in just after the top.
Woo!
I'm very excited about that.
Yeah.
Right now it's time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Listener Julie says, I love the juxtaposition of Spencer and Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman, actual human, with talent and wit. Spencer, murder buttoning bottom feeder. Only on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Murder
Thank you,
buttoning
Julie
bottom feeder?
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. There was, it really was both ends of the spectrum there in about a span of about 10 minutes.
And we're getting, you can't please everybody either. We're getting a lot of email of people saying you were too mean to them.
Listen, people.
And by the way, I don't know that that's possible.
I
and
don't
the
think
other,
we were.
And the other side is you were too nice to them.
Listen, I know, I understand what they're feeling. And if they met some, if they met them in a bar, they'd like to punch them in the head. But here's the thing. When you're doing an interview with someone, if you come at them too hard, if you attack them too heavily, they will shut right down and you will get nothing.
Yeah.
They will hang up the phone or they will clamp up and just be silent, and that's not good radio. So you have to try to make your point, but in not necessarily an aggressive way as you would like.
Ralph was very worried about me. He came in and he's like, all right, we
because
need to
you
do...
tend to go off hard early, and we've lost some people that
That's
way.
What my wife
well,
says.
Did you...
exactly.
Did you see him at the beginning of the interview? Kevin's like...
Yeah, I didn't
and
know.
And then there was this, like, really long pause where you can hear him, like, reeling back the hate.
It was too overwhelming.
I think we got our point across, but in a way that didn't cause the interview to come to a screeching halt. Interview killer. I had a body bag waiting for that interview because I thought you were going to murder it, but you managed to only wound it with good news.
7:51, time for the Showbiz Beat.
Speaking of the murder button, Paris Hilton is out and about.
Yes.
And TMZ has footage of her being interviewed by one of their photographers. And this is an actual quote.
Yes.
You can see the video on TMZ.com. The photographer says, Paris, are you worried about the swine flu? It's killing a lot of people in Mexico. And Paris responds with, I don't eat that.
Oh, great.
Apparently, Alrighty. Paris thinks if she doesn't eat pork, then she'll be fine.
Well, that's a way to follow the news. Best. How can you miss this story? It is virtually everywhere.
Was this in the news?
It's much ado about nothing, right? I mean, some people are going to get sick.
It's like usual. I mean,
and sick people, like little children or old people who get this, like any other flu, may die.
Yeah.
But it's not the plague.
No,
correct.
I don't believe it.
There's something new every year, you know?
Yeah.
I miss the bird flu. The bird flu got passed over too quickly.
Yeah, avian flu kind of ignored us. Yeah. I'm still worried about bees dying off. You don't hear about the bees going away anymore. We're going to lose our food supply because we have no more bees.
You know why? People hear the words swine flu and they go, got to cover it. Let's do a big, huge 8-piece story on it.
Speaking of news, Fox says no to President Obama. Wednesday night, the president is having a press conference to mark his first 100 days in office. It will be carried by ABC, CBS, NBC, and PBS during their prime time. But Fox said no. They are going to show Lie to Me instead. See, if it had been a Bush press conference, they could have called it Lie to Me. They're going to run a graphic underneath the show on Wednesday saying, if you want to see the press conference, flip over to Fox News Channel and you can see it there. So they're not interrupting their primetime lineup for the president.
Mike and I were talking about
enough with this guy, they're saying. He has been on primetime like 8 times in the past 100 days.
And I can understand if he has something to say, but this is just the first 100 days, kind of an update.
He's going to have a little party, put on a hat.
Seem like it's all that important.
Happy 100 days!
That'd be pretty funny.
Yeah, I don't know what he's going to say. But, you know, we live in interesting times, and he does have a lot to talk about with the economy and swine flu and things that are going on. He probably got some things to say.
True.
I don't know if we need to interrupt primetime television for it, but it's going to sound like Bean bitching about the primetime television being interrupted by actual news. Russell Brand keeps getting movie roles, one after another. He's just been signed to do another film. This is a remake of a movie that I actually liked from the 90s called Drop Dead Fred. Did you ever see this movie?
I never did.
Phoebe Cates.
I don't think I did.
As a woman who grows up, loses her husband and her job, is forced to move back with her parents, and in the process, her imaginary friend from when she was a kid comes back to help her out.
Awesome.
Named Fred. And it was...
sounds funny.
Phoebe Cates, and I forget, there was a British dude who played the
Fred,
the original, too.
In the 90s, you have Phoebe Cates?
Yeah, she looks so
good.
That's
all you need.
Yeah. Russell will play Fred in the new version. No word yet on who will play the Phoebe Cates role, but I think it's a good idea.
because it was a charming film, and it's one of those movies that a lot of people didn't see, mm-hmm. had a good premise that I think could be remade, and a lot of people would appreciate it.
Good.
As opposed to one of those, like, a big hit that's being remade that doesn't really need to be. Before I get to celebrity birthdays, got a real quick email I'd like to read, if you don't mind. This comes from listener James Doherty. Thank you, James. My buddy and I were in Vegas this weekend. We were at the casino at the MGM. Ralph, I was playing blackjack when my friend comes running over to me saying he had just got an autograph from Michael Jordan, who was playing poker in the high rollers area.
Wow.
Intrigued and hoping for an autograph myself, I walked over only to find out it wasn't Jordan at all. I turned to my friend and said, "You dimwit, that's Jerry Rice."
I've got you dimwit, that's Jerry Rice. Won't you pack your bags and leave tonight? I've got you dimwit, that's Jerry Rice. I've got you dimwit, that's Jerry Rice.
Man, this is... Weak.
Your face got all red.
You dimwit, that's Jerry Rice. I almost choked to death.
I hate to.
On a piece of almond that was lodged in my throat.
I hate to complain, but how is it that's Jerry Rice and then still pack your bags, we're leaving tonight? How did those lyrics remain throughout?
You want to write me a new chorus?
No, I want you to stop doing the song from the 1964.
You want to help me out?
Whatever it is.
You want to chime in?
No.
Carole King? You want to give me some lyrics? Bernie Taupin, you want to help me out?
Why don't you stop being so confrontational?
All those were wasted on you. All those references were just wasted on
you. I wasn't even listening.
Who is no this?
This is Bernie Taupin. This is Gerald Levert. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jessica Alba turns 28 years old today. Penelope Cruz is 35. Bridget Moynihan is 38 years old.
Honestly.
She had Tom Brady's kid, right?
Bridget she Moynihan, sure
is
did.
That what we're talking about?
Yes, she did.
She's way hot.
Yeah, she's way hot. Jorge Garcia from Lost. It was a clip package.
It was.
Together the history of the Oceanic Six.
But I think
BS.
For the first time that they've done one of those, that was actually pretty helpful. Because you got to see, like, I was reminded of a lot of stuff that I was like, oh, wait a second. That's what happened? I found it helpful. I'm sorry. I don't know.
It was the greatest hits package they were selling as a new album.
But
yeah,
it was. But it was recent greatest hits. It wasn't like they went back to stuff that didn't make
I
sense.
I know, but they didn't say, hey.
He didn't say they did catch old up. Greatest hits.
They didn't say, catch up on what you've missed so far. We'll help you out. They said, ooh, tonight, a new episode, Lost, the Oceanic, the Tale of the Oceanic Six. I didn't know it was going to be a package.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
That's,
that's all I'm saying.
Right.
Speaking of TV, did you see House last night?
Yes.
Did not. That's a good show, though.
Great show. And Chase had his bachelor party last night.
Oh, really?
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
Good TV.
That was a good bachelor party. A lot of body shots being licked off of women and whatnot.
Some of them by Olivia Wilde.
Yeah, how about that? Put that in your pipe and smoke it,
wow.
Evan. That'll
That's
teach you
strong.
To not watch. And the finale of Chuck was last night. I've heard rumors that NBC's going to cancel Chuck. Don't cancel Chuck, NBC. It's a good show. It's really enjoyable. It's really well done. It's very entertaining. I like Chuck a lot. Don't cancel it.
I like it. I don't love it.
Take the money you're spending on Friday Night Lights and then just follow it over to Chuck and keep Chuck on the air.
That one has been on life support.
Because I promise you more people are watching Chuck than are watching Friday Night Lights. That's all I'm telling you. Look, I know the economy's rough.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Make cuts where you can.
Make them where you can.
Not everywhere.
Make the hard choices. We lost the Pontiac. We certainly can lose Friday Night Lights.
You need to talk to Rodney.
I know.
Rodney's
what's
going to
do
die.
Without a Pontiac? All right, my GTO. They're going to take it from me. No more Pontiacs. Probably doesn't quite understand how it's going to work.
Someone's going to come.
They're coming in the middle of the night.
That's right. No more Pontiacs.
Steal it.
Burt Reynolds is protecting his Trans Am right now as we speak. Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, I did some of those already, didn't I?
Yep.
Who else do I got? I got Kim Gordon of Sonic Youth and Jay Leno. One is 56 and the other one is 59. You figure it out. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That's the fray. Doing that old Kanye song Heartless from about a month ago. On the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ, it is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. Steve-O is in our studios. Come on,
yeah!
People, he's back. Steve-O. How great to see you.
Thank you, man. Great to see you, too.
You used to come in and we would always say, yeah, Steve-O, that's great. And then you would come in and it got worse and worse and worse, and you would be a little more out of it, and then we would go, wow, we love this guy, we feel bad. The last time I remember you didn't have any shoes, your pants were, like, around your ankles.
That was probably...
It was rough.
Not a lot different from the first time, but yeah, like,
And I couldn't figure out how you kept working. That was the thing that amazed me. Like, you still, you showed up, you came on the air, you did your interviews, you went out and did whatever you needed to do. It's like, how do you do that?
Yeah, I was always pretty good at showing up.
You were weirdly responsible.
Yeah, I guess that's a good way to put it.
But, and there's going to be a documentary that's on this Sunday night, right, on MTV?
Yeah.
I have the commercial for parts of it.
I lost control of my life, and thanks to some help from...
That's some good high quality, too, that I like about that sound.
Some very close friends, I decided to do something about it. And this is my story.
Yeah, I'm in a very good place.
He was wrecked on a bunch of stuff.
With us, it's a fine line because everyone's partying hard.
It was never really about, like, having talent. It was more just about how wasted and crazy can I get. I had cameras rolling all the way to rock bottom.
He sends out this suicidal-sounding email.
That was a turning point to me.
They just showed up, and they said, there's eight of us, and there's one of you.
And that saved his life, for sure.
Steve-O, Demise and Rise, premieres Sunday, May 3rd at 10.
That looks awesome.
It does. It sounds fascinating.
You know, I've been in and out of love with the project.
I can imagine.
And it's so funny, like...
Why were cameras rolling the whole time?
Well, I was in just psychosis, and I was carrying on conversations with voices in my head and hanging out with imaginary people, and everything was just genius to me. I thought, like, I honestly thought that I was revolutionizing something or other.
So you were videotaping for the whole last year of drug use?
Sure, yeah. You know,
thinking it was going to be used for something else, and now it's...
Yeah, right. I had no idea that I was making a cautionary tale documentary. And now, you know, and I guess, like, when I first got into sobriety about a year ago, it sounded like a great idea. You know, oh man, I'm sitting on all this footage, it's gold,
right?
And you know, and that was really why initially I decided to give sobriety a shot, was because I thought, oh wow, here I'm in this position where I could do a lot of good in the world, you know, like I'll turn it all around, you know, and I'll get sober, I'll be a hero, you know, everyone can look to me as I lead by example. And
but wait a minute, so at that point you weren't doing it for yourself, you were doing it because you thought you could do some good?
I thought I was gonna just do the world a big wonderful favor, and you know, like, so I really had the cart before the horse,
right.
And it took like, I don't know, it was about 100 days of doing it for the wrong reasons before I crashed into a wall. You know, I wound up in another psychiatric ward, and I realized that I didn't really hate myself. I was just kind of in self-pity and just thinking about myself quite a lot. And I don't know, like, for whatever reasons, you know, I figured it out and started doing it for myself, and I kind of went away from the cameras and all that, like, you know, I just did what was suggested of me, and I still wound up in this situation with this documentary coming out. What's funny about it is, you know, like, I find myself talking to friends, you know, like, so, like, people I reach out to for support, and I'll tell them, guys, I'm on a real emotional roller coaster over this documentary that's coming out. You know, like, it's really tough, uncomfortable stuff. Yeah. And they'll be like, dude, what are you talking about? Who are you?
Like, you never used the words emotional roller coaster in your life.
Yeah. So you know, I just have to just remember that it's important not to take myself too seriously and just roll with it.
Where do the cameras go? The cameras followed you for the last year. Did they go with you into rehab?
No, I mean, I did most of that filming on my own. I didn't film stuff that you're not supposed to film. Dr. Drew. I love Dr. Drew, but his people came after me to try to get me on Celebrity Rehab. It's so incessantly. I mean, I was on my way to the downtown L.A. courthouse, and my bail bondsman, who drives me to court, you know, we have this relationship, me and my bail bondsman. He says, oh, Steve-O, you know, Dr. Drew's folks reached out to me. You know, he's like, he's been, you know, like, I got it from, you know, I got it. It's incredible how many people I got it from. And, you know.
But, you know, that should also make you feel good that that many people
care about you to do it. I'm not sure that...
You're not sure that that's care for you?
That's care for you. But, you know, I mean, Dr. Drew was instrumental in helping the guys set up my intervention. And I got nothing bad to say. I'm just really... really glad that when it was time to figure it out, that I sort of gave myself some privacy to do that.
Let's talk about the intervention.
Okay.
The Jackass guys.
Yeah.
When they do an intervention.
Hello.
That's got to be like, what's happening here?
Yeah, that's an indicator that you might have a pretty serious problem.
Right. That was a serious, full-on, you know, the whole group there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you guys know about where I was at. I recall some phone-in interview that I've been really dreading you guys pulling up.
Don't have any clips right now, but we'll look for that. Phone interview.
Yeah.
Well, you've been on so many times, and we always felt like we love you, and we love that you're having a great time, you're partying, whatever, but we didn't want you to,
I mean, definitely. Like, I don't know. I think that, you know... show business in general lends itself to kind of this weird, I don't know, I had a crisis point, like when that Jackass number 2 movie came out, and you know, I kind of saw where the bar was at with our Jackass stunts, and it was just like, okay, so there's really not going to be a Jackass 3. There's never going to be anything that's this big, and you know, like a big another movie. So I was kind of looking at this point in my life where I felt the Jackass 2 premiere was really sort of like my funeral that I was showing up at, you know, and it was just going to be like, all right, everything for the rest of my life is just downhill from here.
Wow.
You know, and like I'd let the pursuit of fame and you know, really just this career in show business be my meaning of life. And I felt like, okay, so now it's time to just sort of sit by and watch life become meaningless. And I absolutely snapped. And you know, it was just kind of nothing left on my agenda to do but die. And
wow.
That's how I carried on. So I really just I crossed this line into the psychosis I was describing, and
when did the Jackass guys have the intervention? Was
that was March 9th of 2008.
Of 2008, okay. And
right.
who do you mind giving us details? Who spoke? What'd they say?
Well, I had,
was it Johnny?
I scheduled my own intervention.
Oh, really?
But, yeah. I used to have this. This list of, I called it my rad email list. And it was like, you know, 100 or so of the most like important, you know, influential people. And I would just fire off emails. Like, it got to the point where I was like, okay, guys, you know, I had just been arrested, for the vandalizing the neighbor's apartment. And they found cocaine on me in the police station. So, you know, I came out of jail there, and it had been, like all over whatever the TMZ and everything. So I come home and I find out that I've been evicted. So I decide, oh, you know, and I'm just on this gnarly bender after that. And, you know, I'm sending out these emails saying, oh, I have to be out of my apartment in a couple days. So tomorrow you guys better show up with, you know, like a hot tub or something for me to try to land in when I jump out the window. You know,
wow.
and I wanted to jump a motorcycle out of the living room. You know, there's a sliding glass door. I was going to jump a motorcycle out of my living room, trying to make it onto the roof of the building next door. And so I had this ultimatum that I'm sending out to these 100 like influential people, like, you know, if you guys don't show up with something for me, like, I promise I'll find out how many bones get broken while I land on the concrete.
Oh,
I'm ready,
man,
to die.
Oh, man.
You know, and
they took that seriously and
said, you know, like the way that I felt about it at the time, you know, I don't know how suicidal I really was. I was definitely like a threat, or, you know, to myself and
yourself,
to everyone else. But I really just kind of felt like I was just creating some urgency to get some footage, you know. And it's so funny, I got this response from Johnny Knox. So he said, because I said, you guys have to be here by 10 a.m., you know, with something for me to land on, or I promise I'll know how many bones get broken. And Johnny Knoxville writes back with, what's with the early call times? Sheesh. Can we make it around noon? And so, like, you know, here's his buddy, like, claiming that I'm definitely going to, I'm definitely gonna, you know, jump to my death. You know, this is how it sounded, and so we changed it to Noon.
let me ask you this question: was that the way to get to you at that moment? Was it just to be funny and say?
Sure, you know, like sure it was, and you know, I don't know, like but I didn't even quite understand. It had been kind of boiling up to this point, and you know, Johnny Knoxville had reached out to Dr. Drew. He said, hey, you know, we got to do something here. Like, Dr. Drew was on my rad email list, so he was kind of privy to
all this stuff. He saw it all.
You know, I had the most well-documented downward spiral, I think, in the history of anywhere.
Yeah.
It's probably true.
Well, you didn't try to hide it much.
Not at all. Yeah. And so Knoxville calls up Dr. Drew. We got to do something. We got to save Steve-O. And Dr. Drew said, you know, well, what you got to do is lock him up in the psych ward with the 5150, which is a 72-hour hold. He said, just go there and just, I don't care what you do, wrap him up with duct tape, throw him in the trunk. It doesn't matter how you get him to the hospital, just get him to the hospital. And, you know, like I said on that little commercial, you know, they showed up and the story was clear. Like, they had eight of them, one of me. You know, it was a creepy scene. They didn't really say a whole lot. Yeah, they walked in. Knoxville walked straight to that window. I was talking about jumping out, like, to block it.
Wow.
You know, the rest of the guys, you know, like, everything was just about blocking windows and doors.
So you're like, well, this is everything. You know, nothing needed to be said? You knew what was going to happen?
They knew. I mean, like, the first thing, they showed up, and I was, like, all psyched and ready. You know, I'd actually, like, gotten pretty lucid. I thought I was going to be doing these stunts with the motorcycle and jumping out of the window.
At that point, you still thought they were going to come over to film or whatever?
I thought that, you know, I was pretty deranged, and I thought that it was stunt time. And then when everybody showed up with no equipment, it was like, oh, man.
Did you someplace in the back of your mind always know that was going to come? Or no?
I had a lot of kind of, you know, scary moments where I just realized, oh, dude, you know, like, I can't stop, man. Like, here I'm in this situation, like I just, everything is just so bad, and I just can't stop, and this is just, you know,
Inevitable. This is,
I felt like this is the last chapter. How long is it going to be? I don't know. I can't say that I thought that, there was going to be an intervention like that. When the guys showed up with no equipment, and it was just like, you know, I was very defiant, and they said, all right, well, hey, you know, here's the deal. You're going to the hospital. If you want to fight, like, we'll fight. You know, we're more than happy to fight. Like, if you want to wait, like, we'll wait it out. Nobody's leaving here until it's to take you to the hospital. So, you know, and they said it was a 72-hour hold. I told them, like, okay, like, I'll go for 24 hours, but not more.
You're bargaining.
And they said, okay. You know, and it was wild. And so I showed, they printed out these emails that I'd been writing, and there was some really dark and scary stuff printed out. I thought I was going to show up at the hospital and just convince everybody that I was fine.
They were waiting out whenever?
Yeah. But with me came a stack of emails that were printed out, and that was enough to turn that 72 hours into 2 weeks real quick.
Wow. All right. Steve-O is here. The show is Steve-O Demise and Rise. It's on MTV this Sunday night at 10. It looks fantastic. We want to take a break and come back.
It's uncomfortable.
Another word you haven't really used very much in your life. We're going to talk about that, and we also have to talk about how dancing turned your life
around.
Sure,
to be honest. Absolutely.
All right. Steve-O is in the studio with us. The name of the show this Sunday night is Steve-O Demise and Rise. It is a documentary at 10 o'clock on MTV Sunday night. Steve-O, during that song, Psycho Mike asked you a question, and I had you hold your answer for on the air. Was it therapeutic to watch the year of you doing drugs?
Absolutely not.
Not there. You didn't look at it and go, wow, I was messed up? Or
I didn't actually have really much of a hand in the post-production of all this footage.
Mm-hmm.
Really just kind of boxed it up and handed it over, and that was probably the biggest stunt I've ever done, you know.
Meaning they can edit it however they want.
Yeah, there was a lot of
bad stuff.
It was crazy.
But man. you've seen some of the footage.
Yeah.
And did it shock you or were you just, you knew what it was, but you just didn't want to see it again?
I was pretty familiar with it because as I was filming it, I had been, posting it.
So you were going back through it. And
I was kind of like,
when you're sober.
Yeah, right. I had, throughout this whole rad email list, I was really producing, my own intervention kind of deal. And, I had, I don't know, like 400,000 MySpace friends that I'm just blasting out, the clip of the day, too.
Right.
And these clips of the day got crazier and crazier. I didn't even, I don't know. It was just, there was a lot of footage. I looked at the actual documentary special when it was in its early stages. I went in and I watched the whole thing.
Right.
And
some people are, their sobriety is reinforced by that. Other people, it's just the opposite.
Right.
Was it one way or the other for you?
I watched this documentary and, it shows me in a really unenviable state.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable. And, you'd think that would serve as a deterrent for me.
Right. But, I don't want to be there again or whatever.
Right. But it didn't work that way at all. I mean, all this footage of me doing drugs, it just triggered me and made me want to get loaded.
Really?
Well, plus when you're uncomfortable, that's a horrible feeling, and you want to get away from it.
You're exactly right. It makes me uncomfortable. I don't like how it feels. Right. So I want to change the way I feel. It makes me want to get loaded.
Right.
And, it's crazy. It just doesn't make any sense at all. But if I look back on, the history of my alcoholism and addiction, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I grew up with a very alcoholic mom, and just seeing what I saw as a child, you would think that would be a deterrent. But no, I was
again. That goes one of two ways. It seems like it's either a deterrent or you go off the deep end.
I went straight to the liquor cabinet. So.
So you're not going to watch Sunday night, but the rest of us can watch.
I will be tuned in to Tough Love on VH1. What a fantastic show that is.
Now, I saw
VH1. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but VH1 is absolutely dominating television. I mean, I can't even believe it. Tool Academy was fantastic.
Tool Academy was great. You're right.
It was amazing.
For the love of Ray J.
Yeah, for the love of Ray J. It was pretty good. Yeah,
I watched some of that.
That lie detector test was something. And ROLB, Rock of Love Bus.
Sure.
I think
Rock of Love Bus was special.
Yeah.
They had the reunion show last week.
Did they?
Yeah. Brett Michaels could possibly be a sex addict, but I think that I'm addicted to him getting laid. And so,
that's odd.
Or at least his courtship process. It's just fantastic. What else does VH1 have? They've got it all.
They do. They have great shows.
Yeah. So I won't be watching mine.
Okay. All right, Steve-O, the first time I saw you, I think, after you had gotten sober was Nitro Circus.
Okay.
I saw you back with those guys. And my first thought was, how is he going to hang out with those guys who he partied with all that time? Do they all still party, or some of them don't? Or it seems like that would be a bad environment. Like, step one would be stay away from the friends that you used to. You know what I mean?
They encourage you to cut off ties with people who
influences or whatever.
Right. There's nobody that I'm still in contact with that would produce drugs or alcohol in front of me.
Endanger your sobriety.
Yeah, and honestly, I think these are the guys that staged my intervention. They clearly care about me.
Yeah.
They're not going to put me in an unsafe environment. And
I didn't know at the time. I didn't know a lot of the backstory, and I just was like, man, I hope I don't want things to go poorly.
Right. On the other hand, I mean, it's true. There's guys on the crew that are off camera dudes. Where we're standing next to the prop truck, and it's just kind of like, wow, I know what we do in this situation.
Yeah.
I can't run from everything that reminds me of getting high. And I can't surround myself with people that want me to get high.
Right.
The thing is that there's just not that many of those people. I became such an absolute nightmare. I think everybody's pulling for me to get sober. everyone wants me to do well.
Well, We are among them.
Absolutely.
Against I appreciate that.
Steve-O, Demise and Rise, 10 o'clock Sunday night on MTV. We'll take a quick break and come right back.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, huh. There's a new boy in town, and I don't like to frown. That's why I lay it down. Hey, Steve-O's a gangster. Whack it, smack it, let's make a racket. I'm so tough, I always attack it.
I hope the rap career isn't gone.
come on. Yeah. We'll see what happens. Like my friends don't want me to rap anymore. you're not listening to that little selection. Sure, it's funny. That rap business started out, hysterical, funny.
Yeah.
You know, it's great. Like when you don't take yourself seriously. The problem is that it continued, and I got, the big Universal record deal to make the comedy gangster rap album. Then, I guess it's funny if you make a song and leak it on the internet.
Right.
If you get a record deal and you're going to try and sell albums, then there's something that changes because you're taking yourself seriously.
You're not mocking it as much as you're trying to make it.
Yeah, and I don't know. That just, the rap bit really just represents everything that got dark about my life.
So that doesn't bring you to a good place. Maybe I shouldn't have played that.
Oh, it's all right.
Good job, Kevin. Just bring him down.
Lisa, I'm going
to it's hysterical, man. I remember playing that I was in a boardroom meeting pitching a television series, what turned out to be Dr. Steve-O. And we were at the Comedy Central I'm like, oh, yeah, like it was an icebreaker. Let me start this meeting by playing my Steve-O's a Gangster song. And the guy, the boss in this boardroom, he said, I could really care less about this television series that you're talking about. I'm not interested in it. But that rap song was hysterical, dude. You got to make more rap music. and wow. That's how it started.
Wow.
There was talk about doing a comedy gangster rap album for Comedy Central Records. Then my lawyer at the time just happened to be the notorious B.I.G.'s old lawyer.
Oh, okay.
And still for his family and his estate, and represents Cash Money Millionaires. So it just got so he's like, oh, I'll get you a deal with Universal. So I've got the Cash Money Millionaires lawyer getting me a record deal with Universal. Everything just got way too serious way too soon.
And, I can see that.
And it just turned into a whirlwind of, and they ultimately, they dropped I had the record done, ready for shrink wrap, and thank God it didn't come out.
But you'll give us a copy of it.
I could probably.
Off the air.
There's a song called Crack Cocaine Feels So Good. It's really pretty hysterical. as a drug addict, I was pretty much a garbage can for whatever would get me high. But
right.
I had boundaries. I never smoked crack. I never did heroin.
Really?
Yeah, and while I never turned down crystal meth, I was never out to find it.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it'd be funny. Like, I made this music video for my crack, but it wasn't actually crack that I was smoking in the music video. That was PCB.
Okay, good. Yeah. Excellent.
Because he has boundaries.
You got to draw the line somewhere, right? Now, you were on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
I'm going to give Lisa permission to talk about it, because I actually pay her at the beginning of every season so that she doesn't watch it and come in and talk about it, because she drives me crazy.
You have a measure of success in the talking about it area, but there's no stopping her from watching it.
That's correct.
Exactly.
That's correct. But you made it
six weeks, yeah. And I had
You take that seriously?
Yeah, very seriously. And as long as Steve Wozniak was there, I had the second to lowest judges scores. And then once Steve Wozniak was gone, I was dead last.
Yeah.
And there's something that feels really good about having the lowest by far judges scores, and then not being in the bottom two once they combine the votes and the
well, yeah, that means that you've got likability.
Yeah. And I did take it incredibly seriously.
It's
probably
such
too seriously.
Hard work.
I worked really hard at it, and ultimately it kind of wore me down. Part of me wanted to stay around as long as I could because, of course, you want to be Mr. Popular,
right?
And it felt great every week that I didn't get eliminated.
But you hurt your back, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I had, you know, like a couple things going on with my back. I worked through it, and I didn't take any pain meds, and it was okay. I was just kind of a love hate thing, you know. Like I was, you know, like for a little while there, I thought, you know, if I stay or if I go, you know, I'll be happy either way. But early on, the truth was, I'll find something to mope about no matter which way it goes. and then I think I got to a real healthy place, you know, like the 6 weeks in, you know, I was like, man, you know, like.
It was an accomplishment to stay that
long.
Yeah.
And it was never about how I fared in the competition. It was just about that I was, you know, welcomed.
Right.
Like, just that I made it there was...
Well, it was the first thing, and I was thinking about this when you started getting sober, that one of the scariest things for you had to be, what am I going to... Can I do anything when I'm sober? Because so much of your career was based on how crazy you were, and was your entertainment value just based on that? Which, clearly, it's not, but you had to find that out, and so going on that show seemed like a really good first step.
Yeah, it seemed really safe. You know, it didn't require me to travel anywhere. I was able to do my rehearsals like right down the street in Pasadena, where I live. It was like presented me with a big challenge, and it was, you know, some healthy stuff to do, get me in good shape. You know, like wholesome. You know, like right. it was just everything about it seemed really safe. And then when the first show rolled around, like I was like, wow, like. Overwhelmed with stress and anxiety, and I couldn't believe it. Like getting ready to perform, you know, a dance on live TV. Like,
well, you're way out of your element. That,
right.
That had to be what.
It wound up scaring me more than like swimming with sharks and literally lions and tigers and bears, you know. And I couldn't even believe it. Like, I felt like I bit off more than I could chew. It was so much so soon, and ultimately I got through it and just managed to. Yeah, you know, I really think I managed to grow a lot as a person, and
now you can salsa like a mofo.
Well, salsa wasn't my strongest one.
What was your strongest one?
I think the waltz is the waltz ones were good because when you do a waltz, you really kind of lock your upper body into one position that you don't change from. So all you have to worry about is
your feet.
The bottom
your feet.
Half.
Yeah, you know, like anything that's good where I have to be moving my arms in a certain way. At the same time as I have to move my legs in a certain way.
You wish 5 years ago you could have seen this interview where you were saying, the thing about the waltz is... When you go, what happened to me between now and then?
Yeah, I don't think I would have ever have ruled anything out as a possibility.
Well, that's true. You were always open to wacky stuff.
I mean... 5 years ago, if you played me that rap song, I probably.
Well, Steve-O, it's really good to have you sober.
Hey, thanks so much.
It really is, because we loved you so much, and you would come in and kind of be out of it, and it was always kind of a bummer because it's a mixed bag. You know, we want you to be happy. We don't want you to.
Well, you know,
fall
you
apart.
Guys, I appreciate your support, man, and it's wild because. You know, like when I first decided to get sober, I was locked up in a psychiatric ward with people who were rolling around in their own poo on the floor, and it was a really like creepy environment. And I thought, oh man, you know, like I got to do something about this. And you know, and it was my first inclination to do it as a favor for the world. And it took me a little while before I realized that I had to help myself before I could help anybody else. And, you know, I feel like I made a lot of progress in doing that. Now I'm in this awkward position of, you know, people looking for me to be inspirational of. You know, that's kind of what this documentary on Sunday night's about is, you know, I'm kind of like, I'm just willing to put it out there. You know, hey, check out how bad I got, you know.
Right.
And if it helps anybody, that's great. I just had to really remember that the no TV show is going to keep me sober. And, you know, it shouldn't keep me sober. It shouldn't get me loaded. Like, what I have to do is completely different. And
somehow separate it.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's just, what I'm trying to say is that it's awkward to be in a position where it's awkward to wind up in the position that I first had imagined myself to be, you know.
Yeah.
Helping
like,
the world.
Yeah. And, you know, I can't help anybody unless I help myself first. I'm very... hopeful that one day at a time I can stay sober, and that's all I can do. And
Well, I think that's inspiration enough. I mean, you put it out there and you do the best you can. And
I find myself, I have found myself thinking, oh, man, like, it's an emotional roller coaster that I'm on over all this. You know, they're just setting me up for a fall. Everyone's waiting for me to fail. Like for me to think that, it's like, you know, I have to really kind of reel myself in and tell myself, come on, dude, you're not that big of a deal. You know, like people really aren't invested in sitting around. Like they're just, people aren't thinking about me so much. You know, sure, if I wind up getting loaded, it'll be a disappointment. Everyone will probably say, you know, another guy gets loaded.
But you know what? The people who do know you, myself included, would be bummed.
Right. Absolutely. And you know,
not waiting
like,
for it.
Anything that's not right now in this moment today really is not of my concern. And, you know, whatever it is, like.
But you're still cool with the tattoos on your fingers. You're not going to change that.
I wouldn't do that.
All right, good. That was my first question. What's going to happen to the tattoos on the finger?
And this sweetheart.
And that's a good one too on your arm. Yeah. We can't describe.
Yeah. So anyway, everyone, you know, can watch this documentary. If it helps anybody, that's great. But it sure isn't helping me. I will be watching VH1.
All right. If you want to watch it, it is Steve-O Demise and Rise. It's Sunday night, 10 o'clock, MTV. Our friend Steve-O is back.
Thanks for coming.
Great to have you,
thanks so much, guys. I really appreciate it.
Think saving 15% in 15 minutes on auto insurance is a good deal? Wawa Nisa has a better one. Call them at 877-WAWA-NISA or go online at WawaNisaUS.com. Partly cloudy, highs in the 60s. I'm Lisa May with K Rock Traffic.
Like an Indian war chant.
One Nisa.
Rain starts coming down. Buffalo starts stampeding.
An active imagination. Ralph, let's hear what the show biz be.
I got nothing but an active imagination. Not as active as my new buddy, though. My new best friend.
Who's your new best friend?
The Deputy Health Minister, Yaakov Litzman from Israel.
Yeah?
I didn't know you were friends with him.
This is not entertainment news, but it is entertaining news.
Okay.
He says that they have to change the name of the swine flu.
Because
Jews and Muslims don't eat pork. And they're sensitive to pork.
But we're not saying that people who eat pork get it. But that's where
swine flu is offensive to both religions, he said in a news conference today. What? It should be renamed, wait for it, the Mexican flu.
Because that won't be offensive to anyone.
That sounds like a bit. That sounds like a sketch we did.
It sounds like a bad bit that we did.
Yeah.
Wow, really?
Well, our bits are bad. You don't have to qualify that.
No, but I'm saying.
But he wants it to be called the Mexican flu.
Let's lay the blame where it belongs.
That won't offend anybody.
Wow.
Jeez.
Go, Yaakov. Dennis Rodman has learned the price of slapping a Las Vegas waitress in the ass. Without permission, of course.
Yeah.
Sure.
Apparently, you can get away with it for $225,000. That's what it costs.
Ouch! No, that can't possibly be worth it.
He hit a 20-year-old beverage manager. Wink, wink.
Beverage manager
at the Cuba Libre bar in the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in 2006. Smacked her in the ass.
Okay.
She sued, and a judge awarded her with $225,000.
Ouch! Wow.
She claimed she was humiliated in front of her coworkers and guests. Listen, you're a cocktail waitress in Vegas. You've done a lot more humiliating things than that, trust me. I know, because I've been there. William Shatner feels a little left out.
Why?
The Star Trek movie?
Star Trek movie.
Yeah.
Now, from what I heard, they offered him an appearance in the film, but the Shat didn't think it was large enough, so he passed. Thinking, I guess they would rewrite a little bit and come back to him, but they didn't.
Because this is the story of him as a young man.
Right. This is the story of Kirk and Spock meeting in the Starfleet Academy when they're both young. Leonard Nimoy does appear in the film.
Right.
As current day Spock, older Spock, and then Zachary Quinto takes over as young Spock.
Okay.
Shatner says, how could you not put one of the founding figures into a movie that was being resurrected? It just doesn't make good business sense. I've become even more popular than I was when I was playing Captain Kirk. I'm good box office. I get good publicity.
It's all true.
It all is all true. And he feels a little left out, and I can see why. I mean, Star Trek he has been the face of Star Trek for 40 years.
Yeah.
So it makes me sad that he's sad. But I'm still going, Bill. I'm sorry.
What was that?
That looks awesome, that movie.
Does look good.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Jay Leno is 59 years old today. Still no word on what sent him to the hospital, by the way. They're being very hush-hush.
Mexican flu?
Mexican flu. Sonic Gordon, what?
What?
Kim Gordon of Sonic Youth is 56 years old today. Occasionally, I do get periodical bouts with dyslexia, I think.
Sometimes you do.
Sometimes the numbers slip around. Just bounce around.
Welcome to my world.
Bridget Moynihan is 38 years old today. Jorge Garcia of Lost is 36. Penelope Cruz turns 35. And Jessica Alba is 28 years old today. Speaking of your world, Kevin, did speaking with Steve-O give you the sense that maybe you're ready now to finally get some help? Are you ready to get some help for your huge drug and alcohol addiction problem?
I don't have a problem.
Still in denial. Okay, yeah. Fine. No problem. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I hate it when people can't get along. It's very, very upsetting. You know, the East Coast-West Coast feud for a while.
That was deadly.
Biggie Tupac. Now it's KFC and El Pollo Loco. I don't know if you've seen
not
this.
Not getting along?
Oh, my God. This is a giant battle right now.
Oh, dear.
Over chicken.
America, KFC has gone grilled. I am so confident that you will love the taste of our new Kentucky Grilled Chicken. Monday, April 27th, I'm giving it to you for free. Try it. You'll get hooked just like I did.
So there you go. So KFC says, all right, we're grilling up chicken, people.
What's the accent? What's that about?
It's an Australian dude.
Why?
So El Pollo Loco
fires
back. They're not going to have it.
I'm Steve Carley, president of El Pollo Loco. And I challenge you, Kentucky Fried Chicken, to a taste test. Oh, yeah. El Pollo Loco's citrus marinated flame grilled chicken versus KFC's new grilled chicken cooked on a griddle. El Pollo Loco. Call me 24/7.
Yeah, it's on, people.
Dude.
It's on.
We're going to have a dance off.
There was free chicken today at El Pollo Loco.
Yes.
Yesterday it was KFC.
Wow.
Things are going down fast in this battle. So you might want to pick a side and stick with it. We have a spokesperson from El Pollo Loco.
Oh, okay.
On the phone. Good morning, sir. Hello?
I'm crazy, bitch.
Okay. And I believe we're going to fire up the hotline to heaven to talk to the colonel of KFC.
Yes.
Colonel, are you there?
Why, hello, sir.
How are you today?
I'm well. How about yourself there?
Very good. Thank you.
Very nice to hear.
Now, the colonel first.
Yes, sir.
Are you aware of the battle that's going on here on Earth?
Of course I'm quite aware of the battle that's going on.
Okay.
I like to look over my empire even from the hereafter, sir.
Okay. And you know that El Pollo is coming on strong.
Could not be more pleased with the KGC, as we're calling it now, the Kentucky Grilled Chicken.
Ah.
Knowing that we're going to take over the lion's share of the chicken market.
L?
That's stupid. They don't even grill it. It's stupid. It's fried. That's stupid.
Colonel, is it grilled? Because that seems to be a sticking point that they're making a lot of.
Of course, sir, it is grilled.
It's
a process we call slow grilling.
Okay.
Which keeps the meat moist and fresh as opposed to grilling over an open flame, which dries it out and makes it taste like a hound dog's ass in August.
L?
I got some moist meat for you, widow, bitch. I'm crazy.
You can see what I'm up against here.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's a very fair fight.
No, it does not, sir.
You being dead and all.
And I'll have you know that the El Pollo Loco chicken is cooked in an oven before they put it on the flame to finish it off, sir.
Is that right? Is that correct, El?
That is correct, sir.
We want to get you super fast. When you come in, you want to get your chicken fast so we cook it a little bit pre-grilling. It's okay, though, because I'm crazy. I give you two pieces of free chicken. They only give you one.
Yeah. Colonel, you did give
one
free piece of chicken yesterday. El Pollo Loco did two today.
That is true, sir.
It kind of kicked your ass on that one.
Because, you see, when you make then it's easier to give it away. Give away several. Give away a bucket of that stuff, why don't you? Whereas the quality chicken at KFC KGC, sir, is much more valuable, sir.
Hell?
It's not the quality. It's the volume. I got so much volume. I stack them deep and sell them cheap. I'm loco.
I know as many as 12 to 13 pieces of chicken live in one apartment over there at El Pollo Loco.
Oh, no, that's not true, is it, L?
It's true.
Oh!
Ba-da-bop, ba-da-bop.
Boing.
Okay.
See, we could be stars.
Yeah.
Get out of this dump.
We could become recording artists. We could be the Pumpkins, right?
Hell yeah. If we could be anybody, it would be the Pumpkins.
It's 106.7 K-Rock KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde and time for the Ralph Showbiz Bean.
Oh, just 2.5 hours away. A little less than that. American Idol tonight. It's Rat Pack night.
Well, you're not watching that anymore.
I'm not watching.
All right.
But it's still Rat Pack night.
Yeah.
That's going to be bad.
Yep. Put your TiVo in and just fast forward?
No.
No?
I've given them enough. Wow. I've given enough of my time.
I'm going to do
and
that.
And my heart and my energy and my soul.
Lisa, he's finally come around to the right side. Don't argue with
him. Well, I'm watching.
Fine.
But I'm watching the right way.
But let him not.
There is right way.
There
Lisa,
is.
No, they get you. They get you. They get you at the drive-thru.
That's true.
Anyway, it's Rat Pack night. So you're going to get 12-year-old singing songs by Frank Sinatra. That's going to be good. See, I got just the right time.
It's been my complaint all along.
Saving myself.
Music that you wouldn't listen to unless
saving
you were drunk.
Saving myself for marriage. That's what I'm doing. Bill Murray may have a new role. Bloggers have been talking about on the internet that he is going to do a special cameo appearance in the new Sony Pictures comedy Zombieland.
Zombieland?
It is indeed a comedy, a horror comedy, about zombies. And rumor has it that Bill Murray makes an appearance in the film as a full-blown zombie, in zombie makeup, no less.
Awesome.
Cool.
Sounds hilarious. The show stars Emma Stone and Woody Harrelson. Hmm. Now, this is the movie Woody was coming back from filming when he got into that cameraman from TMZ in his face. And after he attacked him, said, I was still in character from my zombie movie, and I thought zombies were attacking me.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
That was him being funny, though, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Was.
More casting news. Amanda Peet has been cast.
Oh.
Yeah.
To star opposite Jack Black in the modern take on the Jonathan Swift classic Gulliver's Travels.
Hmm.
Jason Segel and Emily Blunt also star in the film.
It's a great cast.
Love Emily Blunt, too.
Yeah. He plays, that's Jack Black, plays a guy who stumbles onto the secret island of Lilliput full of tiny people. And they capture him, and it's hilarious. Ensues.
That might be really good.
I always
good.
Love that story.
Yeah.
Gulliver's Travels. Dude wakes up on the beach, and they got little ropes tied up on him and everything, all the little putions.
Yeah, I've never seen that.
This is a book!
I know, I never read that.
People, he had an English degree.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
I don't know what happened to it. It is Tuesday. That means new DVDs are in stores today. You can check out the following.
Don't have a list there, do you?
I do.
Oh.
I'm just trying to decide which ones are valid. Like it says here, Barbara Streisand, the concerts.
Nope.
Don't really need to talk about that.
No, that's
correct.
Probably not.
But Purple Rain on Blu-ray. They're re-releasing it on Blu-ray. That sounds pretty cool. The Da Vinci Code, the new two-disc extended cut with Blu-ray, also available. Talking about the new Tom Hanks movie, Angels and Demons, coming out soon. So they're capitalizing on that. Bride Wars, in case you missed that movie with Kate Hudson and Anne Hathaway.
Now you can miss it on DVD.
That's right. Now you can ignore it all over
miss
again.
Miss it both places.
X-Men, the animated series, volumes 1 and 2, available on Blu-ray today. Star Trek, the original series, they're putting it out on Blu-ray. Season 1 is available today. Here's what they've done, though. They've done like a Star Wars on it, where they've gone back in and created all new digital effects for many of the special effects scenes
really?
In the series. I got an email today, after I talked about it this morning, got an email from one of the co-producers of this project, and they said they've gone in and redone all of the spaceships and all the explosions and all of the shots of planets and the landscapes of the fictional alien worlds and stuff have all been redone with CGI.
That seems like you would be against that. You seem to like the original.
I don't know how I feel about it, because I've seen those episodes so many times.
Yeah.
To go back now and see it all changed, I'm not sure if it has the same charm for me or not.
It did.
Because they did that with Star Wars. Remember when Lucas came back and he changed all of the original films to, you know, update them with new technology and stuff? I don't know how I feel about that.
I think they had to do something to make it worth buying on Blu-ray, though, right?
I suppose. But, you know, Trekkies, they would buy anything.
Yeah, I guess.
It's got a lot of bunch of extras and stuff like that. But, I don't know, might be worth a look. And Hotel for Dogs with Emma Roberts and Lisa Kudrow.
No woohoo.
Just me. I can do it.
I was waiting to hear what Mike had to say.
Mike can't
about
do it.
Nothing.
Mike will get hurt.
I had to punch him this morning to keep him quiet.
Yes, right in the did nuts.
Well, sometimes that's what you have to do. I warned him.
You did warn him. God bless
him. In my defense.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jay Leno is 59 years old today. Bassist singer Kim Gordon of Sonic Youth is 56. Bridget Moynihan celebrates her 38th
don't break
birthday.
Your hand.
That was in his hand. Jorge Garcia from Lost is 36. Penelope Cruz turns 35. And actress Jessica Alba celebrates her 28th birthday today. Do we really need to have the sound effects
we
along
don't
with the bell?
Just the bells.
Can't
control it.
Can't the bell just
I'm
be?
Sorry.
That's it. Take the bell
it's
away.
It's now mine.
Oh.
Doesn't prevent me
lost
from
making the bell.
It was such a dad move right there. That was kidding. All right, that's mine now. Now this is mine.
Listen,
you don't get it anymore.
I punched him in the balls this morning. What do you want from me?
That's true. Well, that's your parenting technique.
It's tough
usually.
Love.
It's usually a punch, and then you take away the toy. Isn't that how you work usually? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.